It's time for Twit This Week at Tech. John C. Dvorak's here, Lamar Wilson, Roger Chang. We're going to talk about Bitcoin. Is it a scam or a real currency? We'll also talk a little bit about Google's plans with Babbel, their new chat client, and Facebook Home. Is it enough to keep you home at Facebook? It's all coming up next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 401, recorded April 14th, 2013. Skip the middleman. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at gazelle.com. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Twit. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show where we talk about the tech news of the week. I don't know what this is going to be like, this show. If the pre-show was anything, any indicator, fasten your seatbelts, kids. You're in for a bumpy ride. First, let me introduce Lamar Wilson, who came up from L.A. He's a YouTuber to do our This Week in YouTube episode one.
Episode one of This Week in YouTube. I think it went great.
It was so nice to have you. It's nice to be. For some reason, I just feel like I know you so well. I was stunned to learn we'd actually never met.
We've never met before.
Still haven't met because I have an invisible barrier between you and me.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm not even here. I'm just, you know, broadcasting from home.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Meet you finally.
Thank you.
And you've been on Twit before. You've been on other shows before.
Yep.
It's just we've never met in person.
Yeah. Good to be here, man.
You know, there's so many people I haven't met, but here's two guys I have. I've known for years, many, many years. Roger Chang.
Hello.
Producer at Techzilla and the host. And what else do you do these days?
I am also producer for Downloaded.
That's you got to put the mic in front of the laptop, not behind it, unless you're speaking into the laptop.
That's
the Jim Latterback show that's basically, you said, a ripoff of Cranky Geeks.
No, it's like Cranky Geeks with a lot of booze.
No, so they can't. They just, you know, we do these things, and next thing you know, people are just stealing them left and
copying them left and right. Actually, this show is a ripoff of Cranky Geeks, except it predates it. So I guess that Cranky Geeks would be a ripoff of this show.
No, this show and Cranky Geeks was never designed to be similar.
Well, they're both ripoffs of Silicon Spin,
right?
Silicon Spin, there you go.
Which is a ripoff of the first pilot I made for CNET. Which John was on.
How far is this going to go back?
Which is a ripoff of the McLaughlin Group.
Wrong.
Wrong. So it's all a ripoff of everything.
You just need the jowls.
John C. Dvorak is here. ChannelDvorak.com.
I'm here.
He's a major Bitcoin advocate, and he's here to tell us all about the new currency that's sweeping America.
Yeah, absolutely. Bitcoin is for you.
You know what? We could talk about Bitcoin because there's still a little energy in the room because we were talking before the show about it. I read a book.
You're a big fan of Bitcoin.
I'm not. I just think it's very interesting.
Why?
Well, of course, the first place that we got interested in was just merely the cryptographic mathematical background of it, which is kind of interesting. For those who don't know, Bitcoin is a non-governmental currency that is generated by solving very hard numeric problems. You assign a computer to do it. In the early days, it was easy. It gets harder and harder. And there's a limited number of Bitcoins, I believe 21 million, which they expect will be fully in circulation by 2140. It's going to take a while.
How do they know there's that many, A, and B, if they know there's that many.
It's artificially set at that many.
Okay, then how do they...
And that's to make it deflation, not be inflationary, right? So, well, I agree. There's a point to that. It's maybe a deflationary
Now, how do they know you have a legitimate Bitcoin?
Oh, there's a very good system for storing Bitcoins. There's no physical entity, of course. There's no coin in Bitcoins.
No, it's a number.
It's a number
that you mine,
and you mine, and you have a wallet.
But there's no mining involved. There's no hose.
No, the mining is solving a tough mathematical problem. What's interesting is
it the same mathematical problem every time?
No, it's a variety.
Then why would it be different? And why would that make a coin?
Because it's an invention.
Couldn't that better use of this work and effort be put someplace else?
Well, like that's maybe an interesting point, because somebody just estimated about $150,000 a year in energy cost to generating to the Bitcoin, because Bitcoin miners...
One Bitcoin. Yeah.
No, all the current amount of Bitcoin being generated every year.
So much.
Because in order to generate Bitcoins, it gets harder and harder. It's designed to get harder and harder. It's an interesting story. It's designed by a guy who is anonymous, maybe a group we don't know.
Does that make you suspicious?
Well, no, because you don't really want to become well known as a guy developing an.
You don't think it's Max Kaiser?
Governmental.
He's the guy. Sorry. He's got an exchange.
$150,000 a day
in power consumption.
A day. Oh. A day.
Oh, so it's for the greenies.
So yeah, I'm trying to find the. The value itself is just set by the market and whatever.
That's right. And there are a number of exchanges. The best known is Mt. Gox.
But the problem is it's. It's an asset, and like any asset, it's going to suffer.
It's not a physical asset, however.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, mentally, when people approach it, I mean, real estate, it might be a physical asset, but when people deal with it, it's through dollar transactions, typically through your bank, and all you see is a bunch of numbers.
So would you rather have a Bitcoin and just some...
I can't sleep on a Bitcoin, and I can't eat a Bitcoin, and I can't fashion a weapon out of a Bitcoin.
The thing that I find interesting about Bitcoin is that it's really saying... something a little bit about currency in general, which is our currency, the greenback dollar, which is probably the most
pretty much
trusted currency in the world.
Well, it's a reserve. It's the only reserve currency in the world
at the moment.
Is what they call a fiat currency. Its value exists purely because of the faith of the users, the faith in the U.S. government, of course.
That was just, I don't see that any different than gold. The value of gold
very similar, because there's some physical value to gold.
Except there's a minimum.
But it's not much. It's certainly not.
But you can't just print gold.
Right.
But it's still that same kind of thing.
Right.
It's imaginary.
But once the dollar was eliminated from gold and silver backing in the days of Nixon, then it really was just a piece of paper, right?
Well, actually, let's start with Roosevelt, who confiscated all the gold.
Right. So the thing that I find interesting is that there can, A, be an extra governmental currency. And the notion of Bitcoin is that it protects privacy, just as cash protects privacy.
Yeah, but apparently every Bitcoin transaction is so carefully traced that it doesn't protect privacy at all.
Well, the only identity you know is you have a numeric identity. You don't have a real identity.
But you do have an identity that can be tracked back somehow. Somebody wanted, if the NSA wanted to find out who numbers 666668910.
That's interesting. I don't know.
They could do that, and then you say, well, that guy's been buying a lot of drugs.
Well, and
how does this protect
that's
anything?
Actually the main use right now of Bitcoin is the imaginary website Silk Road, where people are buying drugs with
the imaginary
Bitcoin.
Site.
Well, you can't go to silkroad.com. Yeah. You have to kind of
you have to know the secret handshake password.
That's what I was going to ask. Like I'm a little ignorant on this subject. Like what is it mainly used for? But you kind of answered it.
Well, drugs. But it's not designed to be used in any way different from money. Though I think what it is it's kind of an interesting philosophical.
It's a great way to basically launder
what is
money.
But what is money really? Right? Money is imaginary. Money is an agreed.
It's a social
hallucination. It's a social contract.
It's essentially.
And it doesn't have to be backed by a government. In fact, it was only recently, in the last 100 or so years, that government had anything to do with it.
Gold isn't backed by a government, and people were trading those. You know, go to any kind of.
Your people were trading jade, as you
jade,
said.
Jade,
blue feathers,
anything, yap stones, oversized. You know, impractical means of trade. But, I mean, people have all agreed, at least up to a point, that, you know, yeah.
Well, I think it's also interesting that Bitcoin arouses such energy in people like John.
Oh, yeah.
I would think you'd be in favor of it because it's a currency that is private and non-governmental.
It's not private, I just mentioned. Non-governmental doesn't bother me. I mean, I could go trade, you know, euros if I didn't want to be hounded by the U.S. government. It's beside
the point.
Worse. I don't like it because it's suspect. It's got this unknown origin. It's trading at all kinds of different weird prices. You got Max Kaiser coming out saying it's going to be worth $100,000 a coin, maybe a million.
You know, there's a great story, which I'm sure is well floated among Bitcoin users, of the guy who a couple of years ago bought a pizza with Bitcoin, which at the time was worth a few bucks, but now would be about $1.6 million, a very expensive pizza.
Yeah, to say the least.
Because there's a lot of speculation in Bitcoin. Bitcoin's been very volatile. It went up a lot. It was just at a record high and almost immediately plummeted because there was a big sell-off on Mount Gox. There's the plummet right
there's the graph. Actually, there's a conspiracy behind that, or a conspiracy theory behind that, that people are trying to drive up, or a group of people are trying to drive up the price of Bitcoin, and they sell, causing people the value of the Bitcoin to drop.
And then they buy some more.
So they basically...
It's speculation. Yeah. It's absolutely, I would say, vulnerable to that kind of speculation, especially as people like us and lots of people in the geek community and lots of...
Well, this is one of the things that bothers me. Is I'll bring up this distrust, let's say, of Bitcoin, and I'll get a whole bunch of stuff, you know, flack from, oh, you're a technologist. I don't understand how you don't subscribe to this. You're an idiot. You obviously don't understand the mechanism. And they go on and on. And this whole thing just kind of reeks of just some sour weirdness that I really don't trust this
thing
at all.
Well, that's why you don't trust it, because you don't fully understand the mechanism and you're not going to put your money into something some people do.
I would submit it's even worse than that. I think that people don't really want to think about the fact that there's nothing at all supporting the value of currency, that it is merely a consensual hallucination. Well, we don't really want to delve into the fact that paper money or even U.S. coins have no real value.
As real,
it's what we say it is. The fact that the government 2 years ago printed billions of new dollars out of nowhere, it's unsettling to people. It works, and in fact, that may be one of the flaws of Bitcoin, is that you can't make new Bitcoin. Well, you can only make by the end of the game 21 million. If people hoard it, it's very deflationary because you can't. It's not.
I mean, that was one of the issues with the gold standards. You don't.
Right.
You can't. You cannot get enough gold to actually cover everything.
Right.
Unless you decide to make.
Use the same model that the Bitcoins have, and you just keep subdividing. The limited number amount of gold in the world, although they do find some every once in a while. Which is like printing money the way I see it. But anyway, mainly because in 1949 during the gold rush, there was something like $30 trillion of new gold and silver injected into the economy by today's numbers. Anyway, so you could do what Bitcoin does with gold if you wanted to, but, you know, people shave the coins. And
it's true. Bitcoin has an infinite, can be infinitely divided.
Yeah. Which in a way kind of.
People give me fractional Bitcoins. We accept Bitcoin donations, not because it's just because it's fun, and people want us to do that. And I said, "Fine." We've received one and a half bitcoins over the last
Ford
few weeks.
Does Ford pay you in bitcoins?
No, you better not. We want American dollar.
There it is. There it is.
As fiat as that currency is, you'll take it happily.
Happily. Well, I find it fascinating, and I don't really have an interest one way or the other in it. But I do think it's. I'm actually reading a great book called The End of Money that's about this whole notion of what is money. Why, for instance, do we not move to an electronic
currency?
Why do we have pennies? Why do we have coins?
So you'd rather have us electronic everything so we can be tracked like dogs.
Well, that's exactly who's against it, which is why I was so surprised that you were so anti-Bitcoin, because that's the point.
Is your savings in your mattress?
Yes.
As opposed to leaving your...
Which mattress? Just so I know for future reference, in case anything happens to you.
Yeah, it's somewhere you won't find it.
Uh-huh. It's just in a guest
Bitcoins are currently
mattress.
At 96.
That's very low, because they were well over $200 on Wednesday.
Ludicrous.
So there's been a Bitcoin crash. I think it's fascinating. I frankly don't care, and I would like everything to be electronic. Dollars have a huge cost.
Yes.
Pennies do.
But it is the only way we can anonymously transact. Mm-hmm.
You can barter stuff. I mean, money is essentially whatever a universal agreement on what medium of exchange you use. Mm-hmm.
There are Ithaca dollars.
Let's take a look at what's going on in Ithaca.
Dollars?
Yeah, and they're useless outside of Ithaca.
But in Ithaca, they're worth cash money.
Hey, strip clubs have been doing this for years. So
really?
Yes.
Use strip dollars.
So here's the deal.
Strip clubs, Disney.
Disney
Microsoft,
dollars. Those are the worst. Disney
pinball
bucks?
Machine places. Yep. So anyway, so you have this all electronic thing. And so what happens is the government decides that they're doing it, or they did in Cyprus, and they're probably going to do in the Netherlands and much of the EU. They just say, okay,
Let's take 10%.
Let's take 10% of your money to help support support us. And you can't even get that money out because it's all electronic. And this, by the way, the Dutch have long since, you know, done everything they can to get actual coinage out of the system.
And
it's just everything's about ripping off the public.
What's that book called that you're reading?
I highly recommend it. It's on Audible. It's called The End of Money.
I will check that because I'm interested in that subject.
And it's easy to understand, and it's raises some very interesting issues. They mentioned Bitcoin briefly, but it was written a couple of years ago before Bitcoin really got a lot of attention and notoriety. But there are many other choices. There's Litecoin. There are other cryptocurrencies out there.
I love when the Kindle version is
The End of Money. Counterfeiters, preachers, techies, dreamers, and The Coming Cashless Society by David Woolman.
So can any of those calculations, those problem solving that the machines do, can any of those be kind of geared toward, I don't know, solving a particular...
No, they have no value.
Yeah, see, that's...
You mean like curing cancer? Yeah. No.
Hey, let me burn up energy so I can make an imaginary currency so I can pay some guy on a illicit non-existent website.
So you get some pot.
So I can get some pot when I can just drive over the border to like BC and...
People are buying special heavy GPU machines because the GPU is better at doing this for Bitcoin mining. And there may be some reason to do that. You have to do some calculations to the energy cost, the cost of the hardware. But if you can generate enough Bitcoin fast enough, Steve Gibson, who hosts Security Now.
Has he generated a Bitcoin?
He generated 50 Bitcoins, but it was a couple of years ago when it was easier. You know, it gets harder and harder. So those 50 Bitcoins at its peak were worth more than $10,000.
I hope he cashed out.
He did not.
So now they're worth 5,000.
Buy low, sell high.
But that's an interesting question. Should you cash out, or are they? Remember, it's a limited supply.
You know, it could be worth $100 to $1 million a piece.
This sounds very familiar. It's like gambling almost.
By the way, each Bitcoin can be subdivided into 100 million smaller units. Those are called satoshis, after the imaginary guy Satoshi Nakamoto, who created Bitcoin. So I can give you a couple of satoshis. You give me a pizza, we're happy.
How about you just give
me... you're happy.
Give me real currency.
It uses public key crypto. It's, you know, mathematically sophisticated, and people who are smarter than me have looked at it and said, no, it all works mathematically. I
mean, from a practical...
So what?
From a practical standpoint, ultimately, though, is when I go to a store, I can be 99.9%... assured that if I give them $10 as payment, they'll accept it. I'm not going to go up to a Walmart or a McDonald's or something. Hey, I got some Bitcoins. And they're going to look at me and say, what the hell is that?
Right.
Like, they're not going
to
give
Please try it in McDonald's. I think that'd be hilarious. Just to see what they're going to do.
But you can trade Bitcoin in for...
But it's impractical.
Dollars, if you wish.
Yeah, it's impractical. You know what? I want to eat now. I don't want to go home and freaking convert it and then get the electronic transaction and then run over to an ATM to get the cash out. I just want a burger, 99 cents.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, support greenback dollars. See how that gets you.
Well, if you
know, they can print more of those anytime.
If you hate it so much, I'll take it.
I don't hate it. I love it. I think it's more, for me, an intellectual exercise, and it's one that geeks are very interested in because of the mathematics involved, but also because in this notion that we... I think what I celebrate among geeks is that they're willing sometimes to tackle stuff that scares people. And what's scary to people is this notion that there is nothing really backing the value of a dollar.
That's not scary. It's idiotic. It's different than being... Oh, I'm scared. Oh, there's nothing backing the dollar. I'm frightened. I'm shaking in my boots.
But our whole life relies on that value.
If you understand the mechanism, it's like...
So our lives are a lie.
Yeah, our lives
are a lie. It's a lie, I say.
Haven't there been at least a half dozen movies that have told us that in some
fashion? In general, people would prefer not to think about that. They love the idea. That's why they like the
idea. People don't like thinking about dying either. It happens. Silverbacked.
And I think that's what I celebrate about geeks, is they're willing to kind of think a little bit harder about the notion of fiat currency, what that means, and what Bitcoin means about it. And I don't know if Bitcoin's going to be big or it's a ripoff or any of that. I don't know. But I think it's intriguing. I think it's it makes an interesting point about money.
On to topic two.
Topic two, CISPA. We'll get to that in a moment. The Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, which, by the way, Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo all are in favor of. Others, like privacy advocates, a little bit worried about. Mm. We'll talk about CISPA in just a moment. But meanwhile, let's talk about GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. If you meet with staffers on a regular basis, you know how hard it can be nowadays to get people together. If you pitch to clients, you know how hard sometimes it can be to get an appointment with a client. But I've got a way you can meet, you can pitch, you can train, you can collaborate that's easy, that doesn't require people to be in the same place, and in fact is even more effective than if they were. GoToMeeting, it allows you to share your screens. And, you know, when you're on the same screen, you're on the same page, you can see the PowerPoint presentation, the keynote presentation, what we're working on together. You can collaborate on documents. But it also now, with the new HD Faces feature, allows you to see who you're meeting with. And that's very important. If you're pitching a client, you want to know if he's got his arms folded and he's frowning or if she's smiling and saying, I like that product. That's really important. GoToMeeting lets you work face-to-face with anyone, anywhere. In the old days, people would pay literally thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars for this kind of HD video conferencing. You can have it now on your desktop for a lot less than you might think. In fact, it's free for the first 30 days. So try it out. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code TWIT. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. And now, by the way, you can go to meetings, not just on your Mac or your PC, but on smartphones, on tablets. They even let you present from an iPad. So you can be sitting in an airport presenting a meeting, pitching. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the offer code TWIT. We thank them for their support in American government-backed currency of This Week in Tech. Although I'd take Bitcoin. You know, one of the reasons we take Bitcoin, because maybe, you know, somebody give me Bitcoin and now it's worth $100. But next year it's worth $1 million, so I could cash out.
It's interesting that
you to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that's going to happen, Johnson? I'm nuts.
Well, wishful thinking.
What's interesting is that you still convert everything into dollars.
We're on that topic too.
What if I gave you a Bitcoin? Would you turn it down?
What does it look like? I've never seen.
No,
one.
I have to. You have a wallet.
Oh,
I have a wallet.
I have to go. I push sign a button up someplace. Get on a mailing list.
No,
I can get
free open source software. No, free open source software. You're completely anonymous. You download it. You run it. You create a unique. It's like
what would
30-digit address.
What would I do? Ask you, just get to the...
And then I'll give you a coin.
Yeah, okay.
Then you do whatever you want.
I'd sell it immediately.
You probably would. It's worth $100.
Yeah.
It's like me giving you $100.
Well, why don't you just give me $100? We'll skip the middleman.
Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft all say they back CISPA. In fact, the group
Hey, hold on a second. Before you go on, finish the read. Don't these guys back every one of these crazy things that comes along? Microsoft, Cisco, all these guys. Every time something crazy comes along, some law that's going to just pretty much, you know, spy on the public, these same companies, every single time, yeah, we're all for it.
Well, I think the reason
they're... You ever notice this?
They're backing it.
They don't like the other law.
They don't like the other law with the internet kill switch, you know,
right.
and or the
cyber
security. We've got a
kill switch anyway, like it or not.
Yeah. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah. CISPA is designed, its supporters have said, this is Declan McCullough writing, oh, I'm sorry, it's Edward Moyer writing in CNET, to protect against foreign cyber threats by allowing private companies to, John, you're going to love this, voluntarily share data with government intelligence agencies.
Yeah, we like to put the government in bed with corporations in this country so we can get closer and closer
to what is defined
as fascism.
It protects us
government
against foreign cyber
and
threats.
The corporations work in conjunction with each other.
But aren't you worried about foreign cyber threats?
Which would you rather have?
By who? The North Koreans?
Foreigners.
The two guys in North Korea that can code in BASIC?
Kim Il-sung has a Mac. I saw it on his desk. By the way, a violation of the of explicit violation of Apple's terms of service, which say you cannot use a Macintosh computer to create weapons of mass destruction, bio terrorist war, or anything like that.
It actually says that.
So yes, it's actually in the terms of service.
So what happens?
Smart move.
What are they going to do? Go in there and
they're going to
repossess
come get
it?
Yeah.
Give me that.
That's why you get a Chromebook.
There's no such thing as volunteering.
Arm twisting.
I gotta see if I can find the Macintosh. The Mac, by the way, it's not even a modern Mac. The cult, if you look at it's an old iMac. They don't have a more modern Macintosh.
I always find it unusual when you start to see stuff like this. Here's a little opposition listing in the Wikipedia, the Book of Knowledge. U.S. Representative Ron Paul publicly opposed the bill, calling it Big Brother writ large, which I would agree. And then that guy Cenk Olger, that left wing.
Isn't it interesting? It's bringing strange bedfellows.
The edges
are coming in. Declan McCullough at CNET noted that under existing federal law, any person or company, existing law, they don't need a new one for this, who intercepts any wire, oral, electric communication, unless specifically authorized by law, could face criminal charges. CISPA says, no, 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 it's okay. go ahead and intercept any wire, oral, or electronic communication as long as you're protecting us against foreign cyber threats and passing it along to government intelligence. It's quite all right.
So it's basically overriding the state laws and the federal laws. You.
Does this mean if I'm a corporation and I want to just record everything, like in the street, I have a recorder on me.
It's okay.
I just wear a wire and I just record everything.
And all you have to say if CISPA passes is, look, I was doing it to protect us against foreign cyber threats.
Well, I'm starting to like this now.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I could get a lot of good stories this way.
The group that advocacy group that these companies formed, it's called TechNet. Marissa Myers on the council, Eric Schmidt, Microsoft General Counsel Brad Smith.
Will a Google Glasses be used in this?
They're made for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Says, this is what the TechNet says. CISPA recognizes the need for effective cybersecurity legislation that encourages voluntary, bidirectional, real-time sharing of actionable cyber threat information to protect networks. So in other words, let's open up the communication between private industry and government under the guise of protecting against terrorism. Terrorism is great for that.
Yeah.
Used to be child pornography. Now it's terrorism.
Well, terrorism is such a broad brush you can use against anything.
It's anything.
Yeah, those Chicago gangs are terrorists. Trust me, I live there. I know.
The ACLU says in its current form, CISPA empowers the military, including agencies like the NSA, to collect the internet records of Americans' everyday internet use. We have a long-established principle: the military is not permitted to spy on Americans. This would
But Leo, if I use incognito window, I'm safe, right?
Right.
Well, that'll do it.
You're protected. No,
you're safe from somebody.
Just in case somebody believes you. Of course, your internet service provider knows exactly what you're doing, regardless of your incognito window, and they're the ones who are saving the information and perhaps passing it along. CISPA won the House Intelligence Committee's approval this week and will advance to the House floor, and a vote is expected sometime this week or the next.
So would you all take this over? Like, think about all the technology improvements and things that we're getting, all these cool things coming out. Is it worth the trade-off? Because something has to give, I think, with – I mean, I'm not for this, but I'm wondering, are we
trade-off?
Willing?
What's the trade-off? Well, I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Well, I'm just thinking with all, like, you know, Google Glasses or the watch or all these advancements that are coming that we don't even know about. Are getting those things worth giving up?
I'm still not getting a connection here.
I don't know.
The watch. I got a watch, to have this
because
crappy watch
is watching you.
Well, if that was the case. Yeah. So I have a watch. And to accept a great watch, then the technology, I say, okay, yeah, give me all my privacy.
You have to sign all these agreements when anything that you buy or anything that you use.
Replace watch with Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't use Facebook.
Why?
Well, you don't.
Because I think it's dumb.
Oh. Not because it's an invasion of your
watch
privacy.
Watch was an example, but you're right. Facebook is a good example.
Is it?
I don't know. The CIA is an investor.
Well, then I'd be suspicious of using it.
Just don't put anything that's, you know,
I think it's a good investment for the CIA. They need some money. Facebook's going to go places, I think.
Think?
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to save us tax dollars.
Didn't you quit Facebook once and make a big stink about it?
I did, and I couldn't.
Twice?
Please. Do I look like a double quitter to you? No, I'm merely a single quitter.
I thought it was twice.
I quit.
Maybe I watched the episode twice.
I quit Twitter once. I quit Twitter. I was a Twitter quitter, and then I was a Facebook quitter.
That's
and then
what it was.
I'm back. Because I can't do this job.
You need to go ahead and do
unless
Google
I can
Plus
talk
then.
About Facebook. I can't wait to put Facebook Home on my new phone when it comes on Wednesday so that Mark Zuckerberg will know everywhere I go. He'll even know the humidity where I am.
I think it's bull. I think you could do the show quite easily without having any Facebook connection. You wouldn't lose
you
one
listener. You manage to?
Yes. I don't make your kind of money, but
he's rich.
But I don't attribute the money that you make to Facebook at all, Twitter.
My quitting was a symbolic protest because it was when they changed the privacy policy.
You like to have all your pictures up, and you like that timeline thing.
I love that timeline.
Yeah, you got the new one.
Six. How did they get that picture?
You don't have the new one yet?
I don't have the new one yet. You got some magic sauce you can do?
It's ugly. It's not ugly. It's attractive.
It's a Google Plus bar on its side, right?
Yeah, that beautiful. No, it looks like Google Plus.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah,
Giants rally to tie in ninth and win in 10th, 10 to 7.
I don't have that or the new search.
See, look how big these pictures. This is the new one. You would like this. This is good. It's beautiful, big pictures.
John, if you love Google Plus, you'll love this.
I don't love Google Plus.
I know you don't.
It's like I can't even get my office clean, let alone dicking around with this.
Look at that.
Jason's wife, very pregnant.
Yeah.
Either that or she has a tumor.
She's going to blow.
I think she's overdue now, right?
She's today like a, was the day that
today's
she...
the official day?
Yeah.
I shouldn't be showing this. This is all private Facebook stuff.
Perhaps.
Oh, what the hell?
It could be illegal.
I cut to it, so it's my fault.
Should be illegal.
Anyway, I love it. Look how, you see, when Randall Schwartz checks in at Otte Mesa, whatever the hell that is, in Chula Vista.
I like the larger look, though.
Isn't that pretty?
Yeah, really
You can see a big map. This is why I came back. This is good stuff. Facebook.
I think.
How could you not use this? How do you keep up with family?
I love the
friends,
Facebook home, though.
He calls him.
I'll call him maybe. And, you know,
no,
to be
wait
honest
a
about it,
let's
I don't
be
call
honest.
Maybe.
You don't.
Do I necessarily want to keep up
you
with
don't
family
want to keep
friends?
Up with family and friends. That's why.
I can't get the office clean.
If you were on Facebook, you would have seen this great picture of Kim. What is his name? Kim Il Young?
Kim Jong Un.
Kim Jong Un with his old iMac right there. There it is. See that?
Yeah.
I want this Facebook.
That's what you want. You want this Facebook.
I've embraced. I'm all in on Facebook. I got the Facebook home. I moved all my pictures.
Did you
from
put
Google
Facebook
Plus.
Home on your phone?
Yeah.
You so, let's take a look. Let's see.
What's the appeal?
If I
can ask.
So this is a Galaxy
Note 2. What's the appeal
2?
For installing home?
So one thing
you
get immediately is
fresh on
this is your
Android.
Lock screen, but yeah. You see
you
One Direction.
There?
Okay, whoa. That's not me. That's just random friends.
These are friends. This is his Facebook feed.
He's like a serial killer.
Now that's your chat head, right? But it's you.
Yeah, my chat head.
So if I tap you, will I chat with you?
No,
because so what? Go ahead. What should I do? Should I tap it?
No. My messages are extremely private. But you can move you can move over to Messenger, and then
so you slide it to what you want to do. Okay,
and it stays on there.
So is it just a launcher replacement or
it's a launcher replacement? I like it because you're able to. I'm using it for you. Sorry.
No, because I don't know how to use it. That's
yeah,
good.
You're able to swipe through. Like I have been
so
clicking.
He hasn't entered his locks from his lock screen, but he's now seeing all this Facebook stuff.
So let me give an example of like one picture. Okay, this is ridiculous, but. I don't know who this is, but I can press it, and then it can show up the whole picture.
Holy crap! I've never seen anything like that.
It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing. So yeah.
Do you know that the reviews on the Play Store
like, hey, Chris Perillo, yeah.
are so bad? 48% of the reviews are one star.
You know why? No, I don't.
It's Facebook haters.
No, it's not that. It's that it's only available on like four phones, and people are hating it if they can't get it.
Oh.
That's what it is.
That's
it,
a
it,
good
You know, I guarantee you. I guarantee you that's what it is. If everybody had it, they would love it. Uh-huh. This thing is amazing. So look, Chris Miller right here.
You're going to stick with it?
I'm going to go ahead and.
And you can like it without.
I can like it. I can go ahead and
comment.
Go right in the comments.
So the whole point is Facebook's front and center. And what's interesting is search is kind of. Two clicks down. Normally on a Google
Absolutely.
Phone, the search is right on the top. It's gone. It's
so
you gotta,
I hold this here.
You got to hold it.
I click Google, and then I can.
That's how you get to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my apps are just.
What? How do you get to your apps?
I'm still
slide
trying
up,
to find the appeal
and then,
of having this installed.
I don't see it.
If you're fully invested in Facebook and just like to know what everybody's doing.
I'm peripherally invested.
But you know, I'll tell you what it's good for. I liked a whole bunch of pages like The Verge, Twit,
right.
So Mashable.
So now, it's an information
so now it's like a flipboard to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get to see the news, like breaking news. I subscribe purposely.
So
to
what
all
Zuckerberg
of those.
Said is that it's people centric, not app centric. And I think that's kind of true.
Yeah.
Now, the way you get it, by the way, it's very interesting. You actually start in your Facebook app. So if you've got the Facebook app on there and you have a phone that supports it, there's a button in the Facebook app that says install Facebook Home. And by doing that, interesting, if you go to the Facebook Home app on the Play Store, it says this app requires no permissions, doesn't need to know anything about you.
It lays right over Android. It
doesn't have to.
Because it's living under Facebook, the app, which has all the permissions to see everything.
But you know what? It puts Samsung to shame.
No special permissions.
With this overlay, you know, all the stuff they embed in there. All these extra apps that you don't really need is crapware that Samsung puts
it's
on.
It's hidden away.
Yeah, it puts it to shame. You don't need to embed into pure Android. You could just lay right over it. And so this might be something for Twitter to start doing.
Well, that's what I think. Google Plus.
Google Plus needs to do it.
This Google's got to look at this and say, shoot, why didn't we think of that? This is Android.
Yes,
this is
they
Google.
Do a phone, it might be of some use to
them. Yeah, well, apparently. Maybe they'll put it in the Google Glass. We're supposed to get our glass in the next few weeks.
I've been given the privilege of paying $1,500. I just don't have it.
Did you buy one? You bought it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Google I.O. last year. Go ahead. Bring me my – this is what I got for $1,500.
I was
going
to say, I thought you had them here.
You got a box.
You have the Google Glasses?
No, here? I don't have them here. I got
– You got a promissory note?
I got a paperweight.
You have a paper for $1,500.
Wow.
But it's glass. Oh, and it's
clear. It's glass, and it's got my number on it.
Oh, nice. It's kind of like a Bitcoin, except it's a lot more tangible.
Ooh, it's got my number on it. That's very valuable.
Wait a minute. Isn't that an airline?
737 is my number. I will be number 737 in line to get a Google Glass. They said that in the next few weeks we'll get them. And I'll wear them on the show, and I'll we'll give you our review. So far, the only person who's worn them is is Gavin Newsom, the Secretary of State of California, and Joshua Topolsky, the Editor-in-Chief of Engadget.
Are they wearing them now?
No, they got to wear them around a little bit. And then there's Googlers. There's lots of Googlers. You can go, there's pop-up stores where you can wear them.
I've been waiting.
Look at all the audience members. Because I've been waiting for somebody in the audience to wear Google. Nobody has Google Glass. Mm.
No,
it could be cleverly hidden, though.
What is it?
He's got it. He's got it. That's it. I can tell. I'm just waiting for somebody to do it.
Are you excited about it? Or are you still kind
of... I hate it.
This is going to be like this. The big plague that's happened to public people who do speeches and the like, especially...
It's a teleprompter you wear on your head.
That would be cool. But generally, that would actually not be a bad thing.
Yeah, see?
But here's yeah. I don't think you need a teleprompter to give a speech. But what's happened is in the audience of a tech audience has turned into... They're all on their laptops. Nobody's looking up. You could be stripping up there, and no one would notice until somebody screamed.
That's why I know. That's why now, Sergey Brin said at TED that looking at your smartphone is emasculating.
Well, I don't know if it's emasculating.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know what he's talking about. There. But now they're all going to be looking as though they're looking at you, but they're going to be like... talking to their little Google glasses and running code.
Don't people already do that with the Bluetooth? You think they're talking to you and they turn around.
This, I'm talking about the big audience.
On a presentation, yeah.
And so it'll be... So
that will be weird.
It'll look like they're kind of... But I swear you probably strip up there too.
So I'm also waiting for my Oculus Rift, which I also backed on Kickstarter.
Everyone I've known that's used it has complained about dizziness, lack of coordination.
Nausea.
What?
The Oculus Rift.
They say that may happen even with the Google Glass, that it's a risky thing to, your eyes, it's a risky thing to mess with them.
Yeah, well, it's your eyes and your inner ear.
Because you're looking to the side, which is weird.
Also, the 3D effect of those stereoscopic glasses that used to have the shutters, they discovered that kids under the age of 12, I believe, would actually damage their optic nerve.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they were still developing their brains.
Well, Google's implant and placement eventually will replace those.
Well, we're going to have a whole generation of kids who are deaf from listening to iPod headphones too
loud.
And
blind from
blind from wearing Oculus Rift. It's going to be great. But the good news is they have no privacy.
But it'll be quite funny to watch them bumping into
it. At least they won't be driving on the road anymore.
Well, they don't have to go out to earn a living. They can just mine Bitcoins on their PCs.
I do want to say, with the CISPA thing, I do feel like that there was some point, imperceptible point, where we turned a corner where, this used to be the land of the free, right? Freedom was a basic philosophical tenet of the United States. Do you think that that's still the case, John? Do you think that maybe we have started to think, freedom's overrated. We could give up a little freedom because it's more important to be safe.
Well, that's what I was asking.
That's been going on for. I mean, yeah.
And I feel like that point changed.
Yeah, when the internet came along.
No, it's
the internet. I believe so.
Yes, we'd be much better off without it. I've been advocating shutting it down for years, but nobody pays any attention.
And what would you be doing for a living, sir?
I didn't need the internet before. I was a writer. I'm a writer. I use a computer and I write on a computer. I don't write on a laptop. I don't write on a tablet. I don't write on a phone.
But understand, the internet is not going away, right? I mean,
unfortunately, I think you're right.
It's here.
Although I still believe that we're not the end of the road, and it will be. I honestly believe it'll be segmented at some point, where every country will have its own closed net. Because a lot of these countries can't put up with all the stuff that comes in. So I think the Saudi Arabia is going to have a closed internet.
You're right.
We're going to have a closed internet. There's going to be some people that have the privilege to cross nets. They'll have special licenses or whatever.
A passport?
It'd be an electronic passport that allows me to go to the Saudi Arabia net. If I get a visa from Saudi Arabia, and I can go on their net. Because there's no other way of stopping what's going on, which is a complete... this kind of porn crossing lines, spies, cyber attacks. All these things can be stopped really easily by just segmenting the net.
The problem is it's an argument that's been going on forever, and people raise it every time there's been a disruptive, not just technology, but kind of social phenomena. I mean, globalization, that was the big one. Now all our markets are tied in together. We're competing with people who would gladly make a 12th of what we make and do the same amount of work. And so, you know, outsourcing was kind of the big one. Every time something comes along, and, you know, freedom as the foundation of the country is a national myth. It's, you know.
You don't believe it ever existed.
It was one of those things that maybe at one time was a really grand notion, but, you know, when the colonies formed together, and at the time there was a big push for not having a federalized country because all these states wanted to be independent.
Right.
I mean,
independent. It's a federal system.
Except that federal laws precede.
No, they don't.
For murder?
The 10th Amendment. Tell me what national law. We don't have murder laws in California?
Yeah, we do.
Well, then why would there be a federal one?
How about pot? That's a good one.
Yeah.
This is the problem. Okay, let's back it up. How about the Volstead Act? Why did they have to pass a constitutional amendment?
Underage girls across state lines?
I wish.
Oh.
Okay. Well, if you're going to make stupid comments, the Volstead Act.
You're talking prohibition.
Why was that a constitutional amendment?
Because they couldn't.
Why don't they just pass a law like they did with the pot law?
Right, they can't.
No, why? And the pot law is also unconstitutional.
But no court has struck it down.
Colorado, Washington.
State courts can't strike down federal law.
Well, then why does Colorado have legalized pot?
We have legalized pot for what? For medical use.
Why and the feds and are
the
coming
feds
down
continue
on.
To raid pot pharmacies.
Exactly. Why don't you back up a second? Just back up one second and ask yourself why this is going on. Because the federal government is trying to take over states' rights. We have our own rights. We have our own laws in every single state. And the federal government would love to have no. Why would we have to do a constitutional amendment when you just pass a simple law?
Right.
So we need no constitutional amendments.
It's a lot harder to pass a constitutional amendment.
It's almost impossible.
You got to get all the states to agree.
75%. So let's just drop the Constitution, drop the amendments, and just pass a bunch of federal laws and turn it into a federal government. Screw the states. That's what you guys are arguing for.
No, I'm not.
Well, he is.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with him.
I didn't argue.
You didn't argue for that. Did you argue for that?
Poor guy.
Fine. Yes, that's what I'm arguing for.
Go read the 10th Amendment.
No, I agree with you. Although states' rights have often been used as a cover for things like
federal law does not trump state law. That's right. The point we're trying to make here.
But, okay, let's talk about the Civil Rights Act, which was a federal law designed to promote equality for African Americans, and state by state, that would not have happened.
Yeah.
Right? So there are some
cases nobody objected to it.
Well, some people did. I think there was this guy named George Wallace with an axe handle, but some people objected to it. But that's the question is, and I think often when you hear this argument about states' rights, it really is about the niggers. It really is. Excuse me.
About the what?
What word was that?
Yeah, why don't you spell that word?
N-I-G-R-A.
My pants. I'm just saying that really often is states' rights is used as code for racism. Is it not?
It's when we're talking states' rights, we're talking marijuana laws, we're talking all kinds of things.
Yeah, but you
things.
Can't. But no, it needs to. You.
Yeah, it was in the '50s.
Well, I think still is.
I mean,
somewhat.
No,
I mean, as important as those laws are, I mean, it still brings up a good point. I mean, you can't just pick and choose. Yeah, that one's fine. That one's not fine.
Yeah, which one do you want?
Do you want the
Civil Rights Act, or do you want the?
It's not a buffet.
You can't. It's a buffet. That's the problem with him. He's a buffet liberal. No, conservative. I can't figure out.
I'm neither one. I'm a libertarian.
He's a libertarian. Anyway,
I don't think the chat room was too happy with you about that one.
Oh, I don't care. I like it. Well, I like
to. I'm trying to figure out his definition.
Go ahead, hit me. I'm Breaking Bad. Bring me the hat. I want the pork pie hat.
It's okay to say blacks or African Americans.
I think so.
Okay.
Negras is not so.
That's not a good word.
I was playing on the fact that. Mm. Never mind. Forget it.
Okay. And I believe the Civil Rights Act.
Well, I know it doesn't mean it's.
I'm not
still cool to hear. But
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't say that other word.
I like that little tag you got on.
What's
so? He's got a name tag that says YouTube. So
he was.
I believe that the Civil Rights Act.
I'm sorry. I apologize if that was offensive. I do apologize.
I wasn't offended, but it just sounded.
It was using the phrase that people often use, and they say we don't. You know, that's the point. I was mocking that. Mm-hmm. So I do apologize for that. That wasn't intended to offend.
You're just embarrassing him now.
No, I don't get embarrassed.
The Civil Rights Act.
If he got embarrassed, you would. The YouTube videos. He had pig's feet the other day.
Oh, pig's feet's delicious. Get out.
I rest my case.
Pickled pig's feet in a jar was the worst
Oh, you had a crappy one then.
No,
seriously.
There's no good pickles pig feet.
You guys are both wrong. No, seriously, good pickles pig's feet are fantastic.
Really? What do they taste like?
Oh, they don't have. It's not the flavor so much. It's the
texture.
It's the texture.
The texture is the. That was the problem.
Well, with you, maybe. But seriously,
you like the cartilage and the.
If you like cartilage at all,
it's good for your nails.
All right. So anyway, I believe that was passed just to reiterate what the Constitution provided.
Which was? The Volstead Act?
No, the the Civil Rights Act.
The Civil Rights Act.
It was saying, look, here's what we're...
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It wasn't some crazy thing.
But it was still a federal law.
But it was not an unconstitutional law.
Well, but it superseded state's laws.
No, it was not an unconstitutional law.
Right.
It had nothing to do with the state laws.
It was backed by the Constitution. No, I think you're right. But what about pot?
What about pot? The federal government has no right
to say
make pot illegal. If they think it should be illegal, since it's not proscribed within the constitutional requirements, they should pass an amendment the way the Volstead Act did.
Aren't most of the anti-drug laws federal laws?
Yeah, and they're all illegal.
So why has no challenge in the constitutional challenge?
It's kind of like – it's one of those things where who's going to – we're starting now because it's been kind of demonized for so many years. Oh, drug use. Oh, what, do you want everyone to be a heroin addict? I mean, if you take a look at what happened in Portugal, which is the place nobody wants to talk about where all drugs were decriminalized, all the drug uses fell through the floor. It's like nobody uses drugs there anymore. I mean, nobody wants to mention it.
Drug use has – I don't think drug use has waned. It's just that the associated crime with –
right.
People
you don't have to break into cars to get money to buy heroin. Yeah,
that and also the crime syndicates get blowed up. Yeah. The whole thing changes. But no. It's almost like we have an institutionalized industry.
All those crime organizations shift to something else. I mean, like when Prohibition got ended, the mob suddenly didn't disappear.
No.
They just moved into other.
No, that's a good point.
Prostitution, gambling.
Well, there you have it. That's your
extortion.
Teenage moving girls across state lines.
Volstead Act.
That's a lot of money in it.
Volstead Act. It's a lot of money in it.
I want to do an ad right now, but on the other hand, I don't want to.
You
do
can't
an ad right now.
No, we're on a constitutional debate.
Have to have like a
here's
a
iPad 4859 says I'm a certifiable kook. This is what this guy says in the chat room. I think it's chat room number 2, by the way. I'm a certifiable kook.
You are?
Yeah, the evidence is right here, and Leo has totally embarrassed him. Oh, you are also embarrassed.
I'm the certified kook.
No, I'm the certifiable kook.
Well, who am I?
Apparently, some guy embarrasses himself. So this guy, I guess, number iPad guy, is the genius in the whole. He can explain himself later.
I love it. Anyway, we're going to take a break. I can't figure out what's going on. I'm not even drunk. There's really
Crazy
no.
John is a little correct. Same guy.
It's the shirt. Whenever you wear this shirt.
I know, I love this shirt.
This show just something bad happens. Bad.
This is good broadcasting.
This is good material. All right. Yeah, this is good. This is Did you know it would be anything like this when you came, Lamar?
No.
No. would you like to leave now or do you want to save it for later?
I'm
storm
strong.
Out.
No, I'm not going to storm out.
You're powerful.
No, I still need a ride from someone here. I'll stay right here.
There's nothing that keeps people in their seats than needing a ride.
Dvorak wants to live in 1941, this chat room number 1.
You weren't even – wait, maybe you were alive.
No, I wasn't. No.
Okay.
Actually, there is a direct correlation to the Volstead Act and the drug anti-drug laws in the U.S.
Yeah.
There's a direct correlation.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it, yeah. Because nobody wants to get high. I mean, nobody wants to say, I support getting high.
I support marijuana laws, and I don't care to get high. Right. Maybe when I was a kid.
Right. No, I can't do it anymore. It's really the problem I'm having.
I've been
right
a good
now.
Boy. Yeah. I can't clean up my office. I've said it before.
Guy in the chat room says I have a felony on my record due to a medical marijuana conviction. San Jose.
Yeah, and now he's not even given the right to vote anymore.
No, the city he was in, San Jose, no problem. But he was prosecuted by the county of Santa Clara.
I'm telling you, this is out of control.
Yeah. Well, it is confusing if you have a license. It's legal. You're told, yes, yeah, fine. San Jose says, go ahead, open your pharmacy. And then the county says, or the feds say, It's very confusing. We have overlapping
contradictory laws.
Yeah.
We need some police departments that take up arms.
But getting back to where this all started, which is I feel that we have turned a corner in this country, but you're saying we never, freedom was, this country was never really free.
I mean, no offense, but slavery was disenfranchised a big chunk the population.
I just was watching Lincoln, though, and there was that great fight to end slavery. Of course, that was a movie. Who knows what it was really like? Because Daniel Day-Lewis was a wonderful Lincoln.
Let's take a break.
All right. Thank you.
Because I'm running the show now.
Thank you. Would you please? Because I wish I had nothing to do with it. We have a lot of international viewers, and I'm curious what they think.
Oh, I know what they think. They think Americans are crazy. Gun crazy maniacs.
We are, but it's fun that way.
Yeah. Well, that's another question. Well, no, oh, no, I better not. I better not. Our show, you know, is it time to get a new phone? I think it is.
I'm going to get a new one soon.
Are you?
Yeah.
You've already done with the Note?
Well, I'm looking forward to the S4.
Yeah, S4.
I'm getting it. Well, it's complimentary.
I'm getting my one. I can't wait to get the HTC One.
Yeah.
So what do you... Oh, see, people are leaving now. Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you. Take care. See, we're scaring people away now.
Well, Jim left. Or John left.
John's gone, too. Lamar, your ride's here. No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Don't leave. Please don't leave. Now, John will be back. What John does during our commercials, he wanders around looking for free stuff.
Oh, I thought he had to use the bathroom or something.
No. He just likes to see if he could find any free booze or anything like that. Go ahead. You can do the same. That's fine. Everybody's leaving.
Not everyone.
I haven't ever had this happen
you
before.
You still have a majority of people that were in here when I sat down.
Still. All right. Our show today brought to you by Gazelle, GAZELLE.com. I really am ready for a new phone, the Galaxy S4. Mm-hmm. The HTC One is coming on Wednesday. But the problem is I have a drawer full of the old phones, my Galaxy S3. My Galaxy Note, I have a couple of those.
Yeah, I'm going to have to price this
Blackberries.
One,
so. Well, all right, let's do it right now. Tell me a little bit about it. AT&T?
This is Verizon.
Verizon. Let's click the Verizon button. We're at gazelle.com. Now, you understand this is going to be good for 30 days, which means you don't have to act on it. You got 30 days.
I do
but
like
you're
that.
Locking in the price, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when if you say you look at the Galaxy S4, you say, I don't want it, no problem. But if you say, I want it, I can guarantee you this price is not going up.
Yeah, and they will send you the box, too, in most cases.
They pay the shipping.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm. So your Galaxy Note 2, let me just find that on here from Verizon. All right, let's get it on. It's in what kind of condition?
It's flawless? In great condition, yeah.
Great, flawless. Does it look like it's never been used?
Except for the fingerprints, yes.
Yeah, you can wipe those off. Yeah, all right, no water damage, right?
Nope.
All right, let's see, calculate the price on that. That's pretty good. That's actually going to pay for your Galaxy S4 right there, $226. So what you do is you get the box. They pay the shipping on anything worth more than a buck, but then go back and do more. John, you found a box of Red Vines. Are you happy about that?
We'll talk about Red Vines versus Twizzlers after this commercial.
Oh, that. Now, you thought this was vicious. The rest of the audience is going to leave now because this is going to be very vicious. They take a look at your iPhone, mm-hmm. BlackBerry, Samsung phones, iPads, iPods, MacBooks, Macs. It's just a great way. This is, you know, April is the month of recycling. This is effectively recycling. Somebody's going to mm-hmm. buy this phone that wants it. You're going to get cash back. Best part of all from Gazelle, besides the 30 days, which I love, 30-day lock, is you'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or if you want an Amazon gift card, you get an extra 5%. Now, a lot of us buy stuff on Amazon all the time.
I've used Gazelle many times.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm a big fan of them.
The people like you and me who want new gadgets all the time, this is a great solution.
Mm-hmm.
Even if not, maybe you're just ready to move on. Risk-free, Gazelle wipes your data for free. They've paid $100 million to over 500,000 customers over the last few years. Look at that, $225 for that old iPad. That's nice. Free shipping, fast processing. That's the version 3, so it's about a year old.
Well, it only lasted about 7 months.
I know.
Before it came out.
I know. It didn't take long.
Yeah.
Remember it, gazelle.com, when it's time to trade in the old and go for the new. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. So those are Red Vines.
Yeah.
You prefer Twizzlers?
These are, by the way, no, God, no. Nobody in their right mind prefers Twizzlers.
I was worried.
No, jeez, they're just...
Well, we don't know.
You a may Twizzler not... is like you bite into it and it just falls apart. These things are chewy.
There's some sort of elasticity to it.
There's no, you know, there's no actual...
These actually get better when they get older.
There's no licorice in here?
Licorice in there.
Yeah.
Even the black ones, I don't know if they have any licorice in them.
I don't think so.
No.
The only thing I think that's ever been close to licorice has been ouzo.
Ouzo is not a good thing to drink.
No.
Great for starting your car, though, on a cold day. Just squirt some ouzo on the carburetor like that.
I have a fuel-injected car.
You don't need it. Microsoft has moved its...
Well, that argument ended pretty quickly.
Decisively.
That's because nobody would defend Twizzlers.
Nobody in the West Coast. What, the Twizzlers and East Coast thing.
We
anybody in the audience eat Twizzlers and perform to Red Vine? There you
Chad,
go,
Chad. He's from Texas.
Oh, we got another guy.
He's from the East Coast. That's Jeffrey Needles. Give me that.
Yeah, Red Vines. Whatever happened to Red Vines? Grape, tastes like grape wax. Licorice.
Tastes like what?
Wax.
That's because they're made of wax.
Well,
it's delicious.
Is that the main ingredient?
No. Number one ingredient, corn syrup.
Yeah, see, I can't eat this.
Number
stuff.
Two ingredient, wheat flour.
It's not high fructose corn syrup. It's real corn syrup.
Citric acid, artificial flavor and color,
same
red
thing.
Dye.
Well, not that much better. With corn syrup.
This is made with wheat. Totally this is basically different. Wheat and corn syrup. But I got to tell you something.
So you got 5.5.
That's not annoying.
The American Candy Company sends us this all
Why?
The time. Because they know how much we love Red Vines and hate Twizzlers.
Now,
Leo runs
Twizzlers.
A side business running a theater.
Well, you can pass them on amongst the audience. Just give the thing out there. I think they should. Everyone in the audience should have
Actually,
one.
Actually, you know, Lisa buys these giant things at Costco and for the staff. It's a little bonus.
That's a bonus?
It's better than Bitcoin.
What kind of a bonus? And, and when, yeah, right, a bonus.
It's a bonus. Twitter, music. Let's talk about that. Twitter is about to launch, we think, in the next couple of days, a music site.
Service?
They're going to call it hashtag music. And I
thought, here, this is the irony of this. Wasn't Twitter the big, hashtags, we don't like
hashtags.
Yeah,
Chris Messina imposed them on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then eventually they said, we're going to do hashtags.
Because they've learned they need to earn some
now
cash.
They realize this is how they can make money.
Oh, I love that. Chad said, the Twitter music only allow for 140 lyrics and then the song gets cut off.
140 notes.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. I actually cannot.
What is their motivation?
Somebody in the chat room pointed out an interesting phenomenon, which I've noticed too, is that you go to Costco, you mentioned it, you always spend the exact same amount of money no matter what you try.
It's $500.
Oh, it's $5 for you, it's $250 for me, it's $300 for that guy in the chat room. So you go to Costco, every time you go to Costco, you spend $500.
$500.
Go to Costco? Costco, anybody?
Yeah. Sam's Club only.
Well, the same thing.
I spend $600 on tires, but that's because I had to buy.
$200, $250.
Yeah, I typically spend about $80 because I don't go in there with the... I used to spend like $200 buying like a giant case of peanut butter that I wouldn't use for like 2 years.
Right.
And they would go bad. And it's like, what am I going to do?
I like it when you get to the bottom of that 80-pound bag of tortilla chips.
I used to buy those because I had roommates and they'd literally finish
Horrible.
It off in like 2 weeks.
Oh.
That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you want.
It is.
I don't have enough room in my new place to store all this stuff. I used to have a big, big freezer where I can store all that stuff for months.
Move out of Chicago. Do yourself a favor.
Well, I'm already out of Chicago. I'm in L.A.
He lives in L.A.
Even better.
Bigger place.
L.A. is worse.
I have a smaller apartment. But
don't buy food. City. That's what I've learned. If you buy food, just buy like their thing of apple, like fresh food.
Okay,
like,
I'm sorry I brought this up. I screwed up. I apologize to the chat room.
Fine.
I'm supposed to keep...
I'm moving on. Okay. That's fine.
So, Leo,
Twitter music?
So, did you hear that Twitter's going to do a...
Yeah.
Talk about Red Vines.
And so, is that any interest to anybody that they're going to...
Apparently not. No. I thought this was like a big deal. You know, when Google did music, everybody's going against iTunes trying to beat them, and no.
Yeah.
I don't see the motivation with all the sites that are already...
I agree.
If you go to music.twitter.com, there's a hash music hashtag and a sign-in button.
Trending music.
And apparently Twitter, there have been a lot of reports, wants to launch a music service.
So do you play it like right from your main feed?
I think the idea, and I think it's actually a good idea, is to somehow tie people's tweets into a music service. So the people you follow, they'll say, I like this song, I like this song. You know, Google Plus, which nobody uses, unfortunately, does this. You can actually give people a free song. If you say, I like this song on Google Music, it'll give them a full play.
You're going to get so much heat for saying no one uses it.
I know, but I'm telling you, nobody does. And there's some great stuff in there.
Music.com?
Music.twitter.com.
Right here. This is what you get.
You get a sign-in.
Now, if Amazon link or iTunes link popped up when someone mentioned a song, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But then I can see why they're doing their own apps. They don't want anybody else doing apps because they wouldn't be able to do this. And this is how they monetize.
Right.
Yeah.
CNET's reporting that
when is this thing going to end?
What's that?
Twitter.
Oh, it's
over. It jumped a shark years ago.
It's not, but not. Anywhere. It's but not.
Too many people have invested their social capital into it.
So Twitter acquired a company called We Are Hunted. Terrible name, but it's a music recommendation.
We Are Hunted?
We Are Hunted.
Why would I care what someone's listening to?
Do you have your Spotify connected to your Facebook?
Nope.
Okay, I don't either. For that reason.
I do not link any of my social networks to each other except for Twitter. So
good for you. I hate that. You're reading Twitter and you got a bunch of Foursquare messages.
It's just like, do you want to sign in with Facebook? No, I don't want to. I'll create a new login.
Yeah.
The last thing I need to do is...
I got into Spotify right before they closed the door.
Don't you
I made
think it's
it
amazing,
Facebook only?
Though, that Twitter, which really is a very simple thing, it's a text messaging service, really, right? 140-character text messaging service, has managed to find so many interesting ways to use this.
Why are they making money, though?
They need to make, yeah.
Well, I think they're making money. I don't
are they?
You have a lot of employees.
Authorized Twitter Music Web to use your account.
Would it be interesting if they partner with Amazon? I think that would be a good... Or they're already in bid with Apple, so iTunes links would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we just don't know. We don't know what they're going
to
do.
I tend to actually follow bands I listen to, and that's my Twitter music. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I don't really care what you're listening to if I'm tweeting with you.
I have absolutely no interest in John's musical taste.
What kind of song is this guy? Classical. I could see where you'd be coming from there.
But I'll tell you why. Because there's people like me who don't know what the young people like you are listening to.
Oh, the young folks.
Young people. Hey, that's
so
this guy's 50.
Oh, he's not.
What does that say about you?
I want to know. Well, so I got a hip friend like Roger Chang here. What's Roger listening to? Don't you do that sometimes when you see somebody who's kind of into music? You say, "What are you listening to?"
No,
don't you want to discover?
I'm with Roger on this.
I've never asked anybody.
You know
we got three.
You guys
I'm
are
the
all
youngest here.
In cement. You don't listen
that's
to new
true.
Music.
No.
I listen to new music, but I generally find...
How do you find new music?
It's weird. I go through a weird process of either listening through Pandora, and usually there's always... You know, their little algorithm to...
So you go, I hear a song I like.
And then, I create a new station.
Or to Spotify Radio.
Yeah,
until
that's
I find
true.
Something.
Yeah. Or I use
modern
Pandora.
Technology instead
radio,
of...
No, Radio Paradise.
Asking someone, well, what kind of music you listen to?
Because I could be like you.
Let me ask you a question. They can catch up.
Honestly, I don't value the opinion of
young Rogers
people
is arrogant
much.
About it, so he doesn't
I
care.
I think the real answer is you guys are frozen in time.
No, that's
I don't
not
care
true.
About One listen Direction.
I'm very eclectic.
Or Carly Rae Jepsen. None of that matters to me.
You must have somebody who tells you.
I don't
you
have people
more
telling me anything.
Or something.
It's all on the net.
Harmonica.
There's an internet out there.
That's
got
what
all
they're
kinds
doing. That's what Twitter's doing. Right,
they're it's desperate trying to find
what
a way
mean,
to make
all
money.
On the net. What do you like? Say, I'm randomly okay. Pick a song for me, Google, and play it, and I'll see if I like it. I
mean, listen to radio stations.
Radio
around the world.
Yes, through the web.
I use a.
So that's where you get your. New
I
music.
Use a various sling. I have about 25 sling boxes that are stationed
what?
Everywhere.
What? Wait,
around the world.
What?
Around the world.
What? Are you kidding
For
me?
For the No Agenda show, we have solicited people to give us their sling box
so
codes.
So you can watch their TV set.
We can watch TV sets everywhere. So this is how we accumulate information that we report on. And many of these places around the world, they have music on.
You have your own Nielsen thing set
essentially,
up?
Essentially, kind of, yeah.
It's kind of weird. You kind of remind me of the hoarder, except you're hoarding other people's information.
We're not hoarding anything. We are putting
consuming.
It out there. We bring it in and put it back.
Oh, let's watch this Dutch radio show.
Yep. We don't watch a radio show, by the way.
Have you found new music this way? Is this how you find new music?
A lot of great stuff coming out of France right now.
What do you listen to these days?
I can't pronounce any of their names. It's all French.
And what is it? A lot of accordion music?
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's only accordion. Polkas, as a matter of fact.
Is it Phoenix?
Only Robert Goulet. That's it.
I want to know
why.
I want to hear new music.
Wait a minute. So are you listening to Daft Punk? Because I'm totally picturing you in a Daft Punk
crowd. I cannot picture that under any circumstances.
I'm actually trance and house is more of the stuff that I would listen to.
You like trance and house?
Yeah.
I found
the trance music to be some of the best music to put on a recording to play to yourself while you're on a long airline. Trip. Long
I thought you were
going
to say driving. I was like, no.
Trance
no.
will just, you'll put it on and then you wake up in Germany. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, because you're in a trance.
Yes, that's why it's called trance.
You listen to house music, though?
Yeah, well.
What's the difference between trance and house?
I have no idea. One sounds functional.
Chad, you're a young person.
And you're a youngster.
Is obviously not red natural hair.
It's his birthday today, so he's getting older.
You said what? Right. What about his hair?
I said it's his hair. He's obviously hip because his hair is not natural hair. Red
what?
Vines. It matches red vines.
That's not his hair?
No, this is natural. I don't know what you're talking about.
Seen it before.
Play some music that you young people
Okay, so like if I just go to my Spotify and I'll just
something new young
people. Very educational.
If you play any 8-bit, I'm leaving.
So what I'll do
not
is...
Not dubstep, though, because I know about that already.
Well, I'll just play a radio station of my start. How about that? Okay? It's loading in, so it's going to take a little bit. Here we go. This is from my start radio.
These young people today.
And when after you do that, segue into the promo.
Okay. Well, do we want to listen to this for a while? We could, you know, we could do it
is
while
this trance
we.
Music?
I don't know what this
that
is. It's terrible.
Like
turn it off.
I don't know. I'd say this
Let's
is trance.
This is trance, right?
It sounds like Barbie Girl.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That now this sounds like Europe.
I don't know
remember
what
that
it
band?
Is. Euro trash.
This is danger.
No, remember the Final Countdown?
Oh, Europe. Yeah.
You sound like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, this is great, Chad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm really glad that.
Chill out.
Oh, now.
Neurotrans.
Yeah. All right.
At first, I was worried.
It's all the music you used to get to when you pirated.
All right, that was a fascinating segment.
Music with Chad every weekday.
We should have a show. A show is in order.
You know, the whole week was pretty crappy. Let's watch the video. These are some of the things you missed this week on Twit.
Is this a house ad?
Yes, it is.
On Twit, all about Android.
Any manufacturer can choose to fork Android, as long as they kind of follow those guidelines
that are good for it.
But by forking it means you don't have to put those essential apps in there to have it be a true Android thing. It's just most of the manufacturers choose to go with Android for a number of reasons.
Security now.
Hey, look, we got some Bitcoin.
1 point something?
I have over one Bitcoin. Look at all these. Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. Did I say three? No, a significant number. Look at this. I've sent us bitcoins.
You're
Holy
rolling
moly,
in it.
You guys rock.
Triangulation.
The idea is to build universal access to all knowledge. It was an idea by Raj Reddy of Carnegie Mellon. And the idea that we could one-up the Greeks. The Greeks and the Egyptians
the
built
the ancient Greeks, not the current Greeks.
Sounds lewd.
Because the current Greeks, that seems like a no-brainer.
The idea of one-upping them is to try to make it so that all the published works of humankind could be accessible to anybody anywhere in the world.
Before you buy.
That's really such a good idea.
Buy it. Buy the Pixel. Buy it.
No, Leo, you know you can't afford that Pixel.
I can't decide what to do.
Don't buy the Pixel.
You want it.
You're a natural YouTuber.
I do. Don't. No, Leo. I better watch before you buy.
Twit. Oh, Leo my. Says hi.
Is that what he... At the close, Leo says hi?
What?
How high? Would you like a cigar, John? I just wanted to...
Let's see what we got here.
Have a cigar.
Quester Ray.
This was brought to me by, what's it? It was Cigar Bill? Cigar Bob? He has a radio show.
He's the one that says Cuba.
He's America's. No, it's not Cuban. He says he's America's alpha male on the radio. Can I have a cigar? Can we smoke in here?
No.
He just enjoys having it in his pocket.
Because then I would leave.
So
I'm like, look at the time.
That's offensive.
That's offensive. Yeah. That's right.
What?
Would you think Apple and Yahoo are going to get in bed together? I thought that was a very strange piece in the Wall Street Journal. The idea of Apple and Yahoo doing stuff together.
I think because Yahoo is whatever. I don't want to say they're plummeting, but they're not really.
Yahoo, but why would Apple do it?
Because they hate Google so much. Who else are you going to go with?
Yeah,
I mean, and if they could switch over the search. And you know,
but the search is
Yahoo's
not,
get a good
here's
deal.
Here's the irony: you know who search Yahoo uses? Microsoft,
right? So it's going to
be Bing.
Yeah, Microsoft ultimately benefit, but I think they use Yahoo now for the weather and I believe for the stocks widgets, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
finance and weather.
Yeah, so they already use them in a limited base, and I think for some search
and
some
Siri
search
will
Siri.
Do it's like sports stuff will do as Yahoo.
So it's not that far fetched. A lot of people are already using Yahoo and don't realize they're
no deal is imminent. Said people with direct knowledge of the company's relationship, but representatives for both companies declined to comment. You know that Apple hates Google, right? They would love to get Google out of there. But Bing, do you really want Bing in your Safari?
Well, most people
I don't
won't
even
know
use
Bing.
Safari.
Most use Chrome. Won't.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you do the Bing challenge. No, I said, sorry. I tried it. That's like, eh.
Eddie like Q, who's now in charge of internet software and services at Apple, said the company is not willing to sacrifice the quality of search results, and Google remains the best. Mm. You'd have to agree with him on that, right?
Yeah, that's true. But if the more they can get away from Google, the better for them.
Strange bedfellows, I got to say. That's what you get. Yeah.
Imagine Yahoo being on top again. That'd be so weird.
Do you see all the speculation on this 17-year-old kid, Sumley, that Yahoo bought for, they say, $30 million? And then people started chiming in saying, yeah, you know, kid was kind of annoying.
wasn't he annoyingly pitching to someone at Gizmodo?
Gizmodo wrote an article saying this guy was the most annoying developer.
Man, that was such a horrible article.
Wait,
though.
Let me get this straight. So there was a developer,
a 17-year-old,
and he was annoying.
He was 14 at the time, right?
I need to write this down because I never heard of such a
17-year-old, but he sold his startup for $30 million. He's 17.
Yeah.
He's going to high school.
Yeah. What was his startup?
He needs the money.
Sumley didn't have many users, didn't have any revenue at all. According to Sumley's own website, the technology behind the app was built by SRI International, not by Sumley. So why did, according to this article in Business Insider, Sumley didn't even build the app. They hired a company called Somo, UK's largest independent mobile marketing agency. So what did Yahoo get? An app nobody used that made no money, that wasn't designed by anybody at the company. And use backbone technology by another company that had nothing to do with it.
You didn't even want to keep the kid on board for some bigger projects? I mean, that's really what they bought?
It turns out, according to the Business Insider, that what Yahoo, the deal really was with SRI, the company that made Sumley's technology.
Okay.
And because SRI had equity in Sumley, it was just kind of a side effect. And in fact, some say inside Yahoo that Sumley is Yahoo's Siri. That they're going to build something on it, but it's really the technology.
So the kid got really lucky.
The kid got really lucky. He's going to continue to go to high school.
I think Gizmodo was really, really hard on. I mean,
that was hard.
It was a horrible article.
Well, but if he really was that annoying,
yeah, it's a kid though.
He's
at the time he was like
an annoying
like
developer.
At the time,
please,
like, I don't know.
That's Gizmodo.
And somebody said in the chat
that
now you're going to say complaining about he was introverted.
He didn't even like people. Why did they hire him? Well, anyway.
Not even married.
The whole story was 17. How this young guy.
What does that have to do with this?
17-year-old got $30 million. All right.
I don't like his hair.
Yeah. You know, we have a Batman here in Petaluma. Did you know that? The Petaluma Batman? I follow him on Facebook.
Is he.
He calls his car the Bat Camry.
He's got a Camry. Bat Camry.
Wait a minute. Is that you?
When the Petaluma Police Department see Petaluma Chad. Batman out patrolling, they usually give him the thumbs up and tell him he's doing a good job.
Is he really patrolling? Citizen's arrest type
I have not seen him, but apparently he's been doing this since December.
Oh my.
Friday and Saturday nights, he spends a couple of hours. And
he does. He is not married. For sure.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Well, he's part of a long list of people who've been doing this for the past six years. Have you seen him, Chad?
Have you seen him around?
Actually, I have not seen him around.
I wonder why, Chad, because every time he's around, you're nowhere to be found.
I've just never been able to catch up with him.
He has about the worst Batman costume I've ever seen. It's baggy Batman.
It's so crazy.
It is.
No,
he's a college kid.
Wait, are we supposed to know his identity? I guess not.
They're dark.
Oh, I'm sure the police know
he's going to get
sued.
Yeah.
He rises early in the parking garage.
Local hero.
He has no muscle mass. Chet?
He's got a good chin, though. No, he's got a nice chin. He's got a nice chin.
It's been a little bit overwhelming, especially in the beginning.
That's, by the way, that's the parking garage over here.
Yeah, I know. It's like on the parking garage I just parked in.
I was wondering why all those Channel 7 news vans were there.
Try to, you know, spread some positivity and, you know, spread
the message. If he just had the fake muscles or something.
The plastic ones?
Yeah. Just some definition.
You don't need muscles to be a hero.
You have to look the part.
I just
got to
point out something. Crime has plummeted here in Petaluma since this. Guy has
We walked down the alley to go to the Mexican restaurant, and I felt safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a scary alley, but
I know.
Safe, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What alley?
This is an alley out here.
It's Petaluma. That's an alley.
Dangerous alleys in Petaluma. You're right. You're going to run into a cow.
I'm wondering if there are other... Well, that could be bad.
Yes, there actually are. There's a lot.
And
the whole genre or group is known as RLSH, Real Life Superheroes, and they are not only in the U.S., but they're actually around the globe.
What do you know about this?
I have been following this phenomenon for the better part of 10 years.
So what is your favorite superhero?
Well, no, so there was the one in Seattle. His name was Phoenix, and he was recently unmasked.
Actually, I heard about that one.
But there was also...
Do they actually stop crime, or they just wander around?
They basically... So you know the Guardian Angels?
Yeah.
They essentially do that.
Right. Eyes on the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can they citizen arrest or have?
Yeah. So if you go to a bunch of their sites, actually they're huge on Facebook. That like when Facebook came up, they suddenly all like latched onto that because that was their.
That's why John hasn't heard of them.
They're networking, but they actually have a bunch of like instructions about citizens arrest, what's legal, what's not, how to patrol, things you can do. A lot of them essentially do
a lot of seminars.
A lot of them do volunteer work, so they help the homeless or
so they can't beat a guy.
No, you can't
just beat him down and then turn him to the police.
I mean, there's been a couple of documentaries done on them, so it's you know what, I actually don't mind. It's kind of cool that people take an active civic interest in their communities that way, and you know if they need to do it in you know a colorful or somewhat
it's really cosplay, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It is in so much that they're trying to. It's kind of like taking yourself out of whatever you do normally and putting yourself in a position where you're a little more. You're in a position to help people because it's very empowering.
I'm gonna have a confession for you all.
Sure.
I've done this one night.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
What were you?
He was a YouTuber.
This was years ago in my apartment complex.
I'm surprised by this.
No, this was in Seattle. Yeah. One night I went to the costume store, and I was out there for like 2 hours, but I was hiding in a bushes.
What were you doing?
I have no idea.
Weren't you afraid of getting like shot?
I wasn't in my right mind.
Oh, you were?
No, I was completely sane. I just wanted to try it.
A few too many Twizzlers. No,
I think so.
Yeah.
I was young.
No particular costume?
I had a big cape, and yeah. Maybe I called myself Black Man. I'm not sure what the thing was. But I just kind of patrolled my apartment.
Leaving out
area.
Details for some reason.
No, I'm not. I didn't run into anything.
So,
except a squirrel would scare the hell out of me, but that was about it.
There is, and they actually often form groups, so kind of like the X-Men or the Avengers, they get together. So there's actually one in the Bay Area, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, because for some reason they latch on to cosplayers, too. I have a couple of friends who are big cosplayers.
This is interesting.
They just kind of show up on their friends list. You know, a lot of it seems kind of like maybe not such a smart idea, like trying to stop a crime in progress, especially with people who are, you know, committing violence, because that doesn't sound too safe. But you know, it's what's surprising is how far-reaching it's been, because there are ones in Italy, there's a couple in Hong Kong.
People are strange.
Well, you know what? I think
we all are strange.
I think the internet has allowed people who would have been normally seen as isolated to connect with other like-minded individuals.
I think you're exactly right. This is an internet phenomenon. Yeah,
and so they support each other. It's kind of a support group / you know.
That is very interesting.
Okay. So
interesting.
I should have connected with them when I had my one night out there.
Now, you could have been still doing that.
You know, there's actually a big community in Chicago as well.
Could have stayed in shape too.
They got things on that, too.
Interesting.
Workout routines.
We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk about Google's new plan to let you manage your digital afterlife. What happens when you die to your Google Plus account? Well, we'll tell you.
What same thing happens to it before. There's nothing. I'm sorry.
Things pick up a little bit.
I love Google Plus.
Yeah. No, I know. I do,
Ben
too.
The Ben Stiller movie was called... What was it? Not the specials. That was the other one.
My Night at Bernie's? What was that one where they dragged the dead
Mystery
guy?
Men. That was
Mystery Men.
Oh, yeah.
It was
really bad.
I actually preferred the specials better. But that was an indie movie.
Are you talking about something else?
I don't know what he's talking about. He's actually going off the deep end. He's talking to the chat room and kind of a secondary conversation. It's got nothing to do with it.
That's the one I was thinking about. But that's another story. Our show today brought to you by our friends at audible.com. I want you to sign up for the Platinum Plan. That's the deal we have for you this week. 2 books a month, but your first month is free. Your first 2 books are free. Cancel any time in the first 30 days, and the books are yours to keep forever. It's just also great because you get a free subscription, as with all the subscription plans, to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times Daily Audio, which is really a nice thing to have. Mm. Yeah.
It comes with it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good deal. I want you to visit audible.com, a great source of audiobooks. We're big Audible fans, as you probably know. I just put, in fact, I should show you since I got it here, the Audible app for Windows 8, the Metro app, is very cool. These are all my, so what's nice about Audible is your library is always available. I have something like 500 books in my library, and I can go look at any one of them. I can listen to them. Let me see what, you know, I just downloaded The Great North Road from Peter F. Hamilton. He's one of my favorite sci-fi authors. Audible's got a great sci-fi collection, but classics, too. Here's, you know, William Makepeace Thackeray's Vanity Fair, for instance, or Black Beauty. You know, the kids love Audible, too. Mm-hmm. They've got young adult children's books. It's a great way to get kids listening to books. Bestsellers, fiction and nonfiction. I listen to a lot of history. I'll find that End of Money. That's on here, too, somewhere.
What's the advantage of hearing versus reading, in your opinion?
I find, and this is going to differ, and this is one of the reasons we want you to try before mm-hmm. you buy. I find it sinks in better, and because I spend a lot of time in the car, you probably fly around a lot. The nice thing about Audible is you can read books at times when you couldn't normally hold a book. So right. I listen in the car at the gym. So boring on the Stairmaster. I could see you do a lot of that. You work
every single month.
and Audible is really great for making the time pass. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning stuff. This is the End of Money. Say goodbye to your beloved Benjamins because the world is going cashless. Mm-hmm. David Wolman, the author, explores the drastic implications. How's it happening? What's at stake? What does it mean? I learned a lot about economics, about fiat currency, about Bitcoin and all of that. What a great book. But you don't have to just learn. You can also enjoy Frankenstein, The Modern Prometheus, Wuthering Heights. So many great books. This is my library going way, way back. For the last,
you read a lot.
Well, this is 11 years worth of Audible. I've been reading for a long time, or listening, I guess we should say.
I wasn't even born. Then.
This is the book that inspired the Lincoln movie we were just talking about, Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. Really a great, great piece of history. Awesome. Fascinating. So you're going to find plenty to listen to. You know, one of my favorite Audible books, one that Trey Ratcliffe recommended to me,
mm-hmm.
The King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss. Patrick Rothfuss is going to be our guest on Wednesday on Triangulation. I'm very excited about interviewing him because I've listened to the first two books on Audible, and we're waiting for the third. He's writing it right now. So we'll get some, maybe get some. Have you read the King Killer Chronicles? God, you would love those.
I don't believe
They're
I have.
They're fantastic. He's just wonderful. So many choices. Pick one. Pick two. Why not? They're free. There it is. The Name of the Wind. King Killer Chronicles, Day One by Patrick Rothfuss. You know, these two would be fantastic. You've listened to it too, Chad. I see it's in your library.
Oh, yeah.
Audible.com/twit2. Get some reading done while you're walking, hiking, working all out, right. Cleaning the house, walking the dog, driving the car.
I want to hear you.
I want to do an Audible book.
Do an Audible
book. I just don't, you know, I don't have time. They've asked me. Mm-hmm. In the past, and I just don't. It takes a few weeks to do it. So we made some ice cream. Would you like some strawberry ice cream?
I tried it. Did you really just bring a whole container?
Well, that's what's left over from the ice cream.
They're bad.
They're bad.
They're bad for you. So John brought a big basket of strawberries out here, a little knife, and then Jeff, our intern, just took them from him and said they're bad. Yeah. Now, I don't know if he meant they've gone bad or they were bad for you.
They could be rotten.
They're rotten.
He saved your life.
He saved your life.
John. I would have
mold
noticed.
Mold won't kill you.
No. In fact, mold's true. What they make penicillin out of.
Some mold's not good for you. Make you sick.
Cheesy mold?
That's good. Your stomach would have been
Audible.com/twit2. Get your books today. Thank you very much, Audible, for your support of
Depends.
Our show.
Love Audible.
The weirdest twit we have ever done, without a doubt.
There's a bunch of black mold on cheese. You don't want to eat it.
Yeah, well, now, isn't cheese made of mold?
No. Cheese... Is cheese I'm made of sure. mold? Wow. Gee.
But you can't.
We all know quality cheese is made of vegetable oil, okay?
Yeah. It's all stone.
I don't mean made of mold, but I mean, like, you can't have cheese without mold, right?
Certain cheese.
Certain
no,
cheese.
You
what's
can,
blue
no.
cheese? What's the blue?
Blue cheese is a specific type of cheese. Has got a. They put breadcrumbs in there.
Mold
yeah, it's a penicillium style of mold. And it gets in there and it flavors the cheese. But most 99% of all cheese is not made of mold.
That's what I'm wondering because I've got cheese that's gone moldy. And I thought, well, that's just normal.
No, do not eat it.
Or cook it.
I'm scared.
Well, I don't know what's in the icebox in this place. Refrigerator.
So Google, this is a strange post, and if it had been April 1st, I would have thought it was a joke. It's from the Google public policy blog, but it came out April 11th. Can't be a joke, right? The Google inactive account manager, you can tell us what to do with your Gmail messages and data from other services if your account becomes inactive for any reason, most particularly because you passed on. Your digital afterlife. But if you like leaving a will.
No, how about this? How about you quit? I don't want to be on Google Mail.
Yeah, it could
anymore.
Be that also. It could be that also.
But you have to know, like, well in advance of your
expiration. If you quit, probably what you would want is just everything be deleted. But this is like...
Well, you could back up everything.
No, if you quit, you might not want to. Maybe just... Most of the stuff in the Google account is junk. Anyway, so just my opinion.
But you might want your data... If you pass on, you might want your data to be shared with a trusted friend or family member.
I don't think so.
Then you would want to do this because you would say... Because, look, you're going to be dead, John, so you won't be able to delete your Gmail account. So you would want to give them instructions now what to do if you're inactive.
If you were smart money, you would be taking procedural things. You'd be doing procedural things to keep the Gmail account from accumulating a bunch of crap.
No. The key is, like, what happens to your account.
Please explain this to him.
So, basically, after you toss off your mortal coil and you're sitting in the ground.
Oh, you guys.
It could happen. You could go out the door and he'd get hit by a bus.
No buses on this street.
That's because Petaluma Batman kept him off.
Oh, boy.
So, you set a timeout period after which your account can be classed as inactive. It starts every time you sign in. It resets it. But it starts with your last sign-in. The manager will alert you via email or text message before the timeout period ends. Like, hey, are you dead yet? Because haven't used...
People have been asking me that for the last decade.
Then this is great.
Another column?
Then it will automatically send out an email to contacts saying, John C. Dvorak is no longer with us, but he gave you the keys to his Gmail account if you'd like it. Or,
somebody scamming you? Going, John Dvorak, or you say you, Leo Laporte passed away. Can I have his account? Well, this sounds like an opportunity.
No, this is you in your account setting this up, so that can't happen. You have a timeout period.
No one steals your stuff while
notify
you're gone.
Notify contacts.
I can run up your credit card
to 10 trusted friends or family members who should be notified anyway. That your account is inactive. Option: you can share data, so you can say, here's a special autoresponder. If you're reading this, I'm dead.
You're reading.
I'm dead or incapacitated.
I want Google
an autoresponder that says, if you're reading this, I'm dead.
Yes.
And it's
what if you're
in
a
Gmail?
Coma? You could be in a coma and it would trigger it.
Maybe inactive.
Maybe some sort of kill switch inside you. You're physically dead, it goes off.
What if you've been
signal.
Kidnapped?
If you're reading this. Okay, so what should I say? If you're reading this, I am incapacitated.
You're really doing this.
Or possibly dead.
Okay, that's good.
You make it a bunch of options. Give people something to talk about.
How do you spell incapacitated?
I don't know. That's like incapacitance with a THC.
Incapacitated.
How about if you're reading this?
Or possibly... Oh, good. They have spell check even if you're dead.
I mean,
or possibly dead. Okay, that's the subject line.
Well, wait. You got to make it a little more humorous. Put a period at the end of that sentence. Then put who knows with a question mark.
Or possibly dead. Who knows?
And then say, I was Batman.
Was Batman.
So, and then that's it.
Have you ever?
You know what's gonna happen is I'm gonna forget about this. I am gonna die, and this is gonna go out. And people,
what the hell? The guy's Batman,
and then say
it all makes sense.
Okay, that's safe.
Who could do that many shows in a week?
Do I want my account deleted? No. What is that? A no or an on? Oh, it's a no. Yeah. Okay, Gmail. Okay. Add trusted notify contacts. Okay, now what's the timeout period? If I haven't signed in my Google account for
1 year.
Yeah. 1 year. That's a long time, but that means a year after I'm dead before this happens.
Well, make it a month.
What's a good compromise?
6 months.
Six months. So if I sign in my Google account for 6 months,
maybe that's reasonable.
You're going to get an email that says I was Batman.
Okay. I'm in.
Can I be CC'd on this?
No,
everybody. All you've actually from now on, if I get an email to my account, you'll get a responder says I'm dead, but I was Batman.
Is a title.
What if you're young enough and you actually outlive the Google service?
Okay, this is a good question. Do you think that how long is Google going to be around? Longer than me? No. Longer than John? Definitely not.
Oh, I think they're here to stay.
Who's going to live longer, you or Google?
I think Google will. Really? I think they'll evolve into something unstoppable.
But would they keep the Gmail? That's the key.
Oh, why not? Or is email dying?
Well, they killed Reader.
They killed Reader.
No one was using Reader.
People use Gmail.
Not mainstream people.
People were using Reader.
Gmail. I don't think they made money on Gmail.
What are they making? How are they making money on Gmail?
Display ads. You saw that the guy named Moen, whatever his name was, Neil Moen, they gave him $100 million to run display ads, not to leave. He was going to take a job at Facebook. They said, I'd like to write you a check.
Well,
and they gave him $100 million not to leave.
I think this actually brings up a broader...
There's money in that stuff.
This brings up the broader question. There are so many sites, social networking sites, and various online services that people are using today. Who would you leave in charge to kind of make sure all those things are closed down?
I think more likely... I know what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think more likely somebody's just going to abandon their account.
Right.
Because they're going to find something better or something else.
And
they're going to forget that they put this in play.
Well, no, what
and
you
boom.
Could do. No. Perfect.
Oh, my That's God, the- Leo died.
No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do the email. You could just say, hey, if I don't use my account in 6 months, please delete it. That's one of the options.
Oh, that's good.
I actually had
Isn't
to do,
that good?
I had
yeah,
to, I had to do this when my friend passed away. His wife asked me to basically go through, because she didn't know what they all were, to go
Precisely.
Through all the accounts
this
and
is
close
a good
them
thing.
Down.
Yeah.
Now, I have a horror story. I have a classmate of mine who found me on Facebook a couple years ago, and he was messaging all of us and just daily talking about his life and things in the past.
And then he just stopped.
No. Come to find out, a month into this, I found out he died 2 years ago, and his wife was
just
continuing
doing it
as if she was him.
It's kind of creepy.
It was very creepy. It was very unsettling. So,
well, you know,
I would like it to be deleted where
Boy,
someone can't
really
do that.
There's an app for Facebook called ifidie.net that is an app that allows you to kind of do something similar with your
Facebook.
Facebook
has this process.
What a bunch of morbid people that are on these social networks.
Yeah, they are.
But we're all going to go, John.
And well, you have plans or something?
No. But I mean, I'm just wondering what happens to your Facebook. It just gets inactive.
In my case,
yeah,
I don't use Facebook.
Oh yeah,
hey
you'll leave no trace.
Leave no trace.
You'll just be.
You are as footprints upon the sand.
You mean you have
time.
No Facebook account?
Exactly.
You didn't understand that from his previous.
You want me to say it again? Yes. There are there's John Dvorak, John C. Dvorak
that's
on Facebook. Not me.
Okay.
I don't even know who those people are.
Do you write columns for like the future? Do you like write them out 6 months out and then they publish them later?
I've always read it in advance a little bit.
So I'm just wondering, would it be possible?
I can't go 6 months. No.
Oh, okay.
I cannot write 6 months worth of columns in advance.
Unless you have 6 months to live.
If I had 6 months to live, I'd probably go to some, no, I wouldn't, I'd probably
saying,
stop writing.
Oh, okay.
At that point.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but I've decided against it.
Your legacy is.
I already got in trouble with the teenage hookers going across state lines.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
So.
That was the Mann Act, not the Volstead Act, by the way. I know that.
It wasn't the Woman Act?
No, it was the Man Two Ends Act. Show today brought to you by Stamps.com. Do you know what the word I know he'll know this. Indicia. No?
No.
You're the kind of guy I would think would know all of this.
Isn't that the little, the symbol out of stamp thing? It's like a stamp?
Well, I'm, I think what it is.
It's like the stamp that goes over that cancels the stamps in Indicia, isn't it?
It's the postal markings affixed to mail. So postal markings and printed on mail or labels to be affixed to mail. It is stamps are Indicia.
Okay.
And but the reason it comes up is because this is what Stamps.com does.
You
this is a company
use
that sells Indicia.
You use Stamps.com.
I do.
Because when I've gotten mail from you, and it's got a Stamps.com. Now, the question on my mind is, well, can't you make the stamp a little fancier?
You can.
Well, why don't you?
Do we not have our logo on it?
Nope.
We got to put our logo on it.
No, it says your name, but I would like to see your face.
You could do that. And I can have my head.
Yes, I want to see your head on the stamp.
So we send checks out to hosts. And when we do it, we have the address book so that stamps.com prints the address, our return address, the postage. It doesn't print a logo. It prints the company name. Is that all it says?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it should really have something better.
Yeah, your head.
I want my head. So we're going to, but we can do that. You can have a logo. You can have anything. We've got the USB scale. So if you have a package, you put it on there, it prints exactly the right postage. It prints it right onto a label you affix to the box. You could do any class of mail. If you're doing international mail, stamps.com will fill out the forms for you automatically. You print them out, you're ready to go. And here's the beauty part. You don't even have to go to the post office. The mail carrier comes to you and all the stuff's ready. He just takes it. You can even schedule special pickups. You do not have to get up. You do not have to go to the post office ever again. And you don't need to pay extra for a, a postage meter or the special ink or anything. You're using your computer, your printer, and stamps.com. This is not for everybody. This is for people who do a lot of mailing in your business. If you sell on Etsy, for instance, or you do any kind of fulfillment, you'd love stamps.com. In fact, if you're sending priority mail or express mail, it will automatically email the recipient with the code, with the tracking code, so they know. It's just a great deal. Visit stamps.com right now. They've sent out over 2 billion letters and packages, and I think we've done about 500,000 of those. We use it all the time.
So you like the post office. I mean, you like the postal system.
Yes.
Well, then why would you?
Don't you?
Of course I do, but that when we had the discussion most recently, you said as far as you're concerned and the other guys, the post office could go away.
I didn't say that.
Well, somebody did.
Somebody's got to come to your home and deliver your check. I'm not going to do it. Should I? I mean, how would we? I guess Bitcoin. We could. In fact, why do we send you checks? Why don't we just send you Bitcoin or something? I mean, like just some transfer money over to you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to check.
You'd like to check?
Yeah,
all
of
right.
course.
It's not fiat.
And I could look at it and shake it.
No. The check is, well,
it's
anyway.
Promissory note.
Yeah. Oh, somebody's got an image for me to use in stamps.com.
My dad actually uses stamps.com.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who does a lot of mailing knows about this. It's really great.
We have people walking out on the show. I've seen this.
Send it out.
Huh?
I think our show has been driving a couple of people out of the audience.
The audience.
You probably had to go.
I have never seen the audience thin like this in my life.
Yeah. I won't come back.
And
I'm sorry.
I figure it's a physical world analog for what's really happening. You'll never be back either.
Right. No. Well, I thought they left because of me.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. In any event, go to stamps.com. Click the. What is that?
Is that the picture
I think
that
you need
to
clear
use?
Your cash? But this is stamps.com.
Look at
the
mine.
Microphone
look
button.
At mine.
Okay,
I
actually would buy it if she was on.
What's wrong with mine? See, $80.
Clear your cash.
No. This is what you don't want, right? This is the front page of stamps.com. Click the link. Okay, and we enter in TWIT, right? Press go, and that special offer, $80 offer, turns into $110. What's wrong with all this? Is this not the look?
Is that the picture you want to have on your stamp? That picture there?
What's that?
This is stamps.com.
That's their new front page?
Yeah.
They changed it. So they still have a radio microphone. She's a lot better looking.
Right, and now that I
see the code. I don't want to buy it now.
$110 bonus.
Yeah, but I'm just recommending on the stamp itself, it should have your head.
Well, somebody, did you see chat in the chat room, Chad? I shouldn't call you chat.
Chat room, Chad.
Chad. Did you see somebody had a suggestion for an image that we could use for the logo on our, is it a good image, Jeff? Did you see it?
It's probably lewd.
It's probably lewd. There it is in the image shack.
That one?
Yeah.
No, that's no good.
No.
I would tear up that envelope.
For one thing, it doesn't even look like you.
You just got a letter. Fast. What?
What? I sent you money? Anyway, you can't, whatever. You could use that, whatever you want. Stamps.com. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our offer code TWIT, and you will get a very nice trial offer. $55 in free postage to use over the first few months. Free digital scale, $5 supply kit, and a four-week trial of Stamps.com. Give it a try today. They're a great company with a great service. WhatsApp not selling to Google. That was a lie. They said it was going to Google's going to buy it for $1 billion.
By who?
WhatsApp?
You think they were covering
I missed
up
that
though?
Story.
I think they're covering up.
You think so that they really were talking to him?
I think so.
Google we're pretty sure launching a chat service called Babbel.
And I think they need something like WhatsApp to
a cross platform because WhatsApp's on everything. It's cross platform. They've got a great infrastructure.
Cuz I love Talk. Like that's one of the reasons I came back to Android. I love Google Talk.
That's their IM system.
Yeah, but it's very difficult to use on iOS. You have to use third-party app, and sometimes
that's
turns
a good
off.
Point. And WhatsApp is on iOS, mm-hmm. and it's exactly the same on iOS as it is on Android.
Yeah.
Now, what WhatsApp doesn't have is a desktop version. I wish they did.
Yeah, and Google can provide that.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in this new unified, because they have Google. They have Google Messenger, Google Plus Messenger. They have the Google Talk.
They have too many.
Google Voice.
Google Voice.
Yeah, and there's a couple others. There's chat that's inside the.
Let's get it all together.
Yeah, inside the document, there's chat.
Right.
So there's
we use that all the time while we're inside Google Drive. Yeah.
There's also Hangout chat.
Yeah.
Hangouts have
and Hangouts.
But what I really would like is not only unified across Google, but also use SMS. See, Apple kind of has that with messages where you send a message, it will use SMS. First, it'll try to use the internet. If it can't, it'll use SMS. But it only works from other iOS users. Mm. Wouldn't it be great if we're completely cross-platform?
Yeah. I use the Facebook Messenger with my SMS. I combined it.
That's why I think Facebook Home is interesting. Yeah. It really encourages you to live in Facebook with video chat, messaging, and everything.
I just accepted it. It's a billion people using it. I was like, why was I fighting it all the time? So stop fighting it.
But I really think Google has a huge opportunity if they can get it together to provide a unified chat, a unified interface, put it on Android.
Absolutely.
Put it on the desktop. I think there's a real opportunity.
I've been waiting for that for the longest.
Wouldn't you rather do that with Google than with Facebook?
Me, for sure.
Yeah. Would you trust Google?
I don't trust Google.
You don't have to trust them to use this, though.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't trust them.
Yeah.
50-50.
50-50. It's all the same. Six and one, half a dozen the other.
Well, there's a bunch of people I know who are active on Facebook that don't really have a
Google. Well, that's the problem, is that you're going to go where your friends are.
Yeah.
That's why Facebook has such lock-in. It was like AIM before it, AOL before it, MySpace.
I have about six, seven people.
You still use AIM?
Well, I use it because these seven people still use it. And
I got down to one person. I just said, I'm killing it.
So my thing, have you seen this?
A phone?
No, with all these times?
It's a Nexus 4, and you've got all these different times. Here, let me show the
audience. You're not touching this thing.
I won't do anything. You do that. I don't do that.
Yeah, you take his stuff and mess it up.
He messes my stuff up, but I don't do that. So what is this app? Is this an app?
No, it just showed up now. I mean, they said upgraded, and now I got all these times from places I never go to.
Marengo, Zagreb. I don't even know where Marengo and Almaty are. I know where Zagreb and Adelaide are.
Adelaide's Australia.
Yeah.
South Australia.
Zagreb is the old...
Is this your homepage now?
It's the... It's not the homepage.
It's the Yugoslavia. What do they call it now, though?
It's the pre-open page.
The launcher.
Launcher.
Okay. It's now part of Croatia.
It's Croatia.
Okay. Maybe they're encouraging you to go visit these
places. I've been to Zagreb a couple times. Okay. But I've never been to those other places.
Is this the home screen? What is this?
This is the launch screen.
Is this the 4 or the Galaxy Nexus?
Nexus 4.
Really? No, that's the Galaxy
Nexus.
That's
the Galaxy Nexus, yeah.
Oh, it's the Galaxy Nexus. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they keep what's good about it, if you use the Google phone, you always have the most updated OS.
Right.
I did not know you were an Android guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's learning
things every day.
He just started using smartphones recently.
Last week, I got one of these things. It seems to work.
Very, very.
It's like a calculator.
You poke it.
My mom swears by BlackBerry.
I had one until I bought a Nexus 4 last year.
I had a caller today on the radio show, said, I have a BlackBerry Torch.
Wow.
Should I get the new BlackBerry? I said, definitely. Jump. Waste no time.
This is one of the apps I really like.
What is this stuff you're doing with your phone? Long press to save. Annoying high pitch, annoying alarm. Are these sounds?
Yeah.
So if I press one, it's going to do that? Yeah. There's an annoying high pitch sound.
Okay, but why does it look like that? The symbol.
It's because John is long suffering.
Okay.
It's getting more annoying.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm gonna stop.
Much like the owner.
My ears hurting.
Oh,
jeez. Anytime you can stop.
Most of my hearing's still intact. What's that one?
Vuvuzelas. Drunk chipmunk.
Do they have the jump in the shark one?
Did you pay for this?
No, of course not. You think I paid for it?
You did just get a smartphone, didn't you?
I think it's for the times that he needs to laugh in a social occasion but just can't muster it, and he just hits it on
those
his phone.
Things are, by the way, these sound effect apps are great in meetings.
Yeah.
Most meetings are boring.
End that meeting fast. In fact, it's pretty much ended this show.
Yeah, well, I'm working on
it. Any other stories that we want to talk about?
We covered the Facebook home, right? Yeah, we did that.
Okay. I finished BioShock Infinite.
Oh, did you like it? What'd you think? I finished it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, what do you think of the ending? No spoilers.
Why not come and tell us the ending?
No.
Yes.
No,
but Roger and I are
going
to
play the game.
We're going to talk in coded fashion so that we won't hurt anybody. It's a very surprising ending.
It's a surprising ending, but it wasn't... I can say the end of the game wasn't as satisfying as I
hoped. No, I'd hoped for more, and especially after that last battle.
And for all the talk about kind of how forward and progressive it was in addressing racism and stuff, a lot of those...
They left that behind.
A lot of those elements... This is the thing I had with this game. A lot of those elements were set pieces. There were window dressing. They weren't really done in a...
They weren't integral to the game.
They weren't integral to the game. Honestly, you don't care at the end. It was another... So this is the thing. How do you take a...
A game and just basically you've said nothing.
We can't.
I can't.
Because
well, then
we can't
what is
spoil
the
it?
Point of this? Because
they weren't reviewing it.
I'm just saying that.
Overview.
Come on. Tell us what happened.
This is the thing I have with this game. How do you take something that you want to be very broad-minded and very, you know, you
I guess you want to educate the public, but then you stick on top of a shooter. You want
to
make.
That's
you want,
right. You still have to kill a lot of people.
You got to kill a lot of people, and you want to promote a message of tolerance and understanding. So it doesn't work.
Are they deliberately trying to send a moral message in this?
Yes.
In this
yes. And
video
it's,
game?
And it's oh, yes. very ham-fisted.
I think we can say this without being a spoiler because it's so early in the game.
Yes.
And others have talked about it very early on in the game. You're in this city that was built in 1912, a floating city, and it seems idyllic. It's Disney. It's Main Street yeah. Disney. I mean, it's incredible. But there's odd little dark bits to it. You come to a raffle, and you get a message that says, whatever you do, don't take number 77. And you're at the raffle, and everybody's there, and everybody's excited. It's a very fair spirit. And a girl comes to you, and you say, well, how much for the base? She wants to give you a baseball. How much for the baseball? She says, oh, no, you must be new here. It's always free at the raffle. Here, take a baseball. So he does, and it's number 77. So he goes, oh, that's interesting. Then the stage opens, and the announcer comes out. And it's an interracial couple in chains is marched out.
Mm-hmm.
And the announcer says, you've won. You get to throw the first baseball at this interracial couple. You know, it's like, oh, my God. And then you have a choice in the game whether to throw the baseball at the interracial couple, which, of course, would be an evil thing to do, or to throw it at the announcer, the MC instead.
And the thing
you have to make... Yeah. What is ostensibly a deep moral decision? Well, by the way, I tried
it
both ways.
That's a deep moral decision?
Well, I tried it both ways. It's the same exact outcome no matter what you do.
That's a spoiler.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. What if you don't take the baseball?
You don't have a choice. That's a cut scene.
Oh, this sucks.
So ultimately, there's a certain level of you know pretentious high mindedness in the game that stems from like a very kind of from very poor understanding about how things like
it's
like,
pretentious.
It
let's
is.
Face
it's,
it.
It's not.
This
it's
is
not
why.
Very well.
This is why I'm
but
looking
it's still a great game.
It's a fun
it's
game.
Think of it as an interesting looking first person shooter.
But I will say
it is not a deeply profound.
But it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
But
it's a first person shooter.
The gameplay itself is. Good.
It's great.
But it's not any better than the first BioShock.
Nah, maybe not. Maybe so. I think so. No. I think that there are more variations.
You can make it through the game through basically using two of your powers and like
vigors
and whatever weapon.
Yeah, you only get two weapons, two vigors. That's plenty.
I'm looking forward to the Injustice Gods Among Us game. With the DC Comics.
That looks good.
There's no thinking involved. You just bash people.
It's just Mortal Kombat.
And it's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
No morals.
All right. We're pretty much clearly run out of whatever we had.
It was good.
Do you think Warby Parker... I was really surprised. Giga Ohm, and unfortunately, the Giga Ohm writer who was here left early, but...
I don't blame him.
Giga Ohm says the Warby Parker... You know, Warby Parker's a glasses, the internet startup that's selling glasses frames. Why they're creating a retail store is a big moment for online brands. They're opening up a store, in Manhattan... using sensors, Wi-Fi, and other technology to understand how people use their retail space and take that data and marry it with their online sales trends. Is this really a revolution? They're selling glasses, friends.
It's a store.
It's a store. It's a store. And in fact, it's a store in a category that is traditionally not an online category.
Yeah.
I think what they may have discovered, and they were an advertiser with us, disclaimer, what they may have discovered is that people really want to go in and try glasses frames before they buy them.
Well, you know, there's...
I would hope.
What a revelation.
I think they were... I mean, it works for things like Zappos, but when it comes to something so critical to your everyday functioning, like glasses, it's something you want to make sure you test out
the
and
company
walk
a,
out the store.
The company is a darling internet startup for reasons I'm not completely...
Hipster glasses.
They're hipster. And by the way, what's interesting is Google, it's been rumored that Google Glass will actually go to Warby Parker to get some stylish Google Glass.
Get some black frames.
Black frames and stuff. And you know what? They did solve the conundrum because what you do is you order, you pick five frames that you think might look nice and they send you the five frames. You try them all on and say, I want that one. Then you send the trial box back and you get the frame with your glasses prescription. So they do kind of solve that issue of how do you try them on.
How do they solve the fitting?
Well, they don't. And
they
that's,
tweak.
You can't.
Yeah.
See, what they need to do is take a device like the Kinect that you sit on your monitor and do a little 3D scan of your head. And then they find out which frames will actually
that
fit.
That would be cool. Anyway, we're out of time. I want to thank Lamar Wilson for coming up here.
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
having
it.
Me. No, I love the. I was going to say cottage. I love this brick house.
Whatever the hell this thing is. Yeah.
But this giant studio.
Okay, some good news this week that Elisa told me. We had to take out a loan to build this. We did about $1.25 million of
tenant improvements. We just leased the building, but you know, building a studio is expensive with all the equipment and the gear. And Lisa told me that we paid off the loan about 4 years early. We have paid off the loan. We don't have any. We're not encumbered.
It's all in the blue.
Debt. It's all in the blue
or the black.
The black. I hope the black or the blue. It's all about the Bitcoin, baby. Anyway, so that's
easy. Bitcoin to pay it off.
Yeah, pays off with Bitcoin. The bank loves Bitcoin.
The city loves it.
Anyway, so, it's really nice to have you on the Twit team.
Thank you for agreeing to doing a show with me.
Lamar's the host of This Week in YouTube.
Absolutely.
Here on Twit. You can also follow him on YouTube, youtube.com/LamarWilson. Two R's.
I encourage that. And, of course, Twitter.
And you've been doing the video a month.
The video a day
thing this month.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical. You've got to watch some of these, especially the one, the pig's knuckles.
Yeah, it's called We Eat Stuff. Where I eat Spam for the first time.
You've never had Spam?
I've never had Spam.
It's good.
And we ate it out of the can. People were like, what are you doing? You're supposed to fry it.
You fry it. You don't eat it raw.
It's not raw. It's ready to cook.
You ate Vienna sausages.
Yeah, that was disgusting. I didn't like the texture.
You drank
a bottle of some sort of
sugar water.
Just like you.
I like everything.
No, you don't. You just said Spam was disgusting.
It is.
It's worth watching that video because by the time you get to the pig's feet, I was howling.
All right, you got me.
John C. Dvorak does a lot of stuff, but nothing better, nothing more important, nothing more relevant than the No Agenda Show, noagendashow.com. He also is available at channeldvorak.com. And, of course, dvorak.org/blog is still alive and kicking.
Yep.
Great awesome. Site.
Fun and site. And I'm also on this show every so often.
More often than not.
And it always makes for a lively moment of entertainment.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah.
You bring a certain something to it.
Yeah, usually sound effects.
And a weird shirt. Roger Chang. Woo! That's good. That's the cartoon sound effects collection.
Yeah it is.
And you have the perfect hair that goes back.
When I started doing all of this back in 91 with John, he gave me my start in technology radio. And I foolishly gave him a computer loaded with sound effects.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
And ever since,
little did he know.
Ever since, it's been my great trial. Roger Chang is at the beautiful Revision 3 where he does Techzilla.
Yes. Techzilla.com.
And the new show. It's a new show from Jim Lauterbach.
YouTube.com/TechFeed. So check it out there with TechFeed News. It's part of the TechFeed channel. And if you have an Xbox, you can try out our new Revision 3 app.
You guys took the brave road on that one. So I've talked to Microsoft about getting a Twit app. And they said, well, we strongly prefer use one of your certified developers. I said, well, how much is that going to be? About $100,000 to $150,000. So Revision 3.
They got that Disney money. Discovery.
No. No, they wrote it themselves. Yeah. They did not go that route. Oh, nice. And I'm sure it was a lot cheaper. But then you have to go through the gauntlet of Microsoft approval, which took a while.
Took a very long while.
Yeah. But you got it through, and I'm impressed. And it gave me the courage to. I want to talk with you guys about how you did that, because maybe we could afford to do it ourselves and manage to get through that approval process, because it's very expensive.
If you can do it in-house, it'd be great.
Yeah. Thank you, Roger. Great to see you. Thank you all for joining us. We do This Week in Tech every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live if you can, because then you'll see all the things that we cut out of this episode. If you don't watch live, you can get the on-demand, safe versions at twit.tv every week. Hey, before we wrap things up, I want to check in with Tom Merritt. I want to thank you. I know you have to run.
I do.
Your ride is waiting.
Yeah.
Are they beeping outside?
I'm not sure.
Or Jeff, you're his ride?
Wherever the back car is.
The Batmobile. Yeah. The Batmobile.
You're going out with the Batman.
Before we wrap it up, let's check in with Tom Merritt to see what's coming up this week on Twit.
Hey, Leo, here's a look at some of the things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Of course, today is the release of Star Wars The Old Republic's expansion, their first expansion, Rise of the Hutt Cartel. Monday, April 15th, kicks off Dive into Mobile. That was rescheduled because of Hurricane Sandy. It was supposed to be back last year. Also, it's tax day. Don't forget that. Tuesday, April 16th, Yahoo and Intel both have their earnings reports. The kickoff of Ad Age Digital and Samsung Galaxy S4 pre-orders start on AT&T. Wednesday, April 17th, it's a big earnings day as well. eBay has their earnings day. Also, Demo Mobile kicks off, and it's the anniversary of the first proposal of FTP in 1971. Thursday, April 18th, IBM, Microsoft, Google, Verizon, and Nokia all have their earnings. And Friday, April 19th, the HTC One for AT&T is scheduled to ship. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo. So,
that's my new phone. I can't wait to get that HTC One.
How many phones do you have?
God, no. Well, I trade them in, but...
Gazelle.
Yeah.
The Note 2 I loved, but now this is 1920 by 1080 in a 4.7-inch screen, and people have seen it. I haven't seen it yet. Say it's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the HTC One.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's good for watching YouTube videos because it's got speakers in the front, left and right. You can sit there like this.
Yeah, those speakers.
I might get a Note 2. I like the Note 2. I like the size.
I love the Note 2. Yeah. It's been a great phone. You know what I did? My mom's visiting. She's 80 years old, and she had a bad feature phone. And I said, Mom, you got to have a smartphone. I'm going to do a trial with you. iPhone 5, Note 2, 1 week with each. It wasn't even a contest. Note 2.
It's easier to see.
She draws. It's easier to see. She's drawing with a stylus. She loves it. I was a little worried because Android is not easy to use. And she has an iPad, so she knows how to use the iPhone.
And once you root Android or most Android phones, or you get an Nexus, get rid of a lot of the detritus that normally comes from the manufacturer.
That's the next thing. Mom and I are going to sit down. We're going to do a little class on rooting your phone. So it'll be fun. Thank you, John. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Lamar. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another twin
is in the can.